7 WJFK,
Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Weekend's here! Have a can of beer!
Hello?
Yes, you're on. You're on. Great. Great job, Joe.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Don and Mike Show. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Artinger, with you on this fine Friday afternoon. Here in D.C. Hope it's going well for you.
Shut up.
Country listening to us. Westwood One.
Right? I am going to hang up and just call back, and you just say it again. You did it perfectly.
Okay.
Before you go, a cappella of my generation.
People try to put us down.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I like that.
You are just.
Take me today to get a new toilet seat because mine got broken and was sliding.
Because I'm the sheriff.
Hold on a second. But here's the thing, those are on the wrong bank.
He's mentally retarded.
That's the one I was looking for.
Yep.
That's the one. Okay, I'll call you right back.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to call him back now. Hang up so we can call him back.
He's mentally retarded. He's mentally retarded.
Oh, God, these phones suck. Even the internal lines.
The internal lines. All has to be around a group of kids.
He's mentally retarded.
Weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
I'm John Wayne. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine. I've known that little fellow a while. He's mentally retarded.
Are you still there, Joe?
Yeah.
That's not strictly true.
Two men side by side for 20 years.
20 years.
He's mentally retarded.
Such devotion makes me choke back tears.
I don't think we'd take too kindly to being arrested.
Every nothing broke back here.
He's mentally retarded.
Thought that I should make that very clear.
Sorry, don't get it done, dude.
It's a party without the beer.
I think we can get Junior something that he can ride.
I'm driving home with Don and Mike.
Is he actually singing this?
Yes, he is.
Simply make my day more bright.
I don't know all the words.
He's mentally retarded.
And no matter if my wife's at home.
Get on your horse.
I ain't going back till I'm finished with the show.
Well, why?
All right, Joe.
I ain't going.
Well, just for the tally books, what did you say? He's mentally retarded.
Bye, Joe.
Good day.
Good day. I said good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
Good day.
This is the XM Nation.
60.6
XM Radio.
He's mentally retarded.
Seems to be the idea.
Don't you think it's about time you told me what put the fur under your saddle about me?
He's mentally retarded.
I'll decide this one.
Okay.
Thanks, Duke.
No problem.
That's the Duke and Joe.
So how are you anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Okay, that's, I think, everything that we wanted to get to there.
All of our prepared comedy.
Yeah.
The sketches are over.
Well prepared.
The sketch segment is over. It's time to bring out the guest.
I think so. Now, hold on a second. Let me see.
Time to bring out Juliette Prowse.
Dag nabbit. Let me see, because I had the Rosie thing, because we've got...
Hello!
Right. I know we've heard these tapes a million times. Hi, Rosie.
Thank you.
Shut up.
I am gay. Oh. I'm a lesbian. I'm a homosexual gay lesbian. That is delicious.
That's Rosie talks to herself.
Thank you. I am gay. Yeah, because he has a green card. He's cute. I am gay. I'm a lesbian. I'm a homosexual gay lesbian. Oh, that is dead.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Well, hi, and welcome. Welcome. This show is going to be very loose today.
Okay. Greetings.
The show will be looser, probably, than...
Tanya Roberts?
Than J.C. Hayward.
Oh, wow.
And I'm talking about J.C. Hayward, you know, in the saddle.
Ah.
At the GYN.
Wonderful.
I was thinking about her today in that regard.
She's sure been promoted, I believe.
Yeah, they watch Channel 9. And J.C. Hayward
is Channel 9.
She is the grand dame of Channel 9.
I think she's been working there over 30 years.
Wow. And she's got some kind of stink going on underneath these wigs that she wears.
Mm-hmm.
But I love her because she refuses to read teleprompters. She refuses to talk to people who listen to her in her ear.
That's good.
While she's on TV.
She's old school, Don.
Yeah, which
she's old school.
Which means she screws up all the time. But I love watching J.C. Hayward.
Yeah. Not as much as Babs, though.
No.
Well, no.
Nobody screws up as much as Babs.
Barbara Harrison is a totally separate issue. Mm. I was simply mentioning J.C. Hayward because I'm thinking of J.C. Hayward, and,
right.
I'll tell you why I'm thinking of her.
Well, that's every day, isn't it?
Yeah, well, please tell me about it. I'm debating doing something. I think I'm going to do it. Channel 9 called. Mm-hmm. That's the station that J.C. Hayward works at.
Right. J.C. Hayward.
Yeah, and Mike mentioned that she's been promoted. I don't see it as a promotion. I see it as a way to get her tired old ass out the Channel 9 door.
Right.
But they can't really get rid of her because she's
They said it was a promotion, but she's not anchoring
she's
anymore.
She's like an institution.
Right.
You know what she is, really? And this is just for old-time Washingtonians.
Right.
What she has become is the female black Bob Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
Familiar.
Bob Dalton. Bob Dalton who sounded like Bob Dole.
Because who didn't watch? There's this old fart.
T-Bills.
Probably gone and deceased now. God rest his soul.
Right.
This guy that was on Channel 9, Bob Dalton. And everybody wondered, how come Channel 9 would get these killer news ratings at noon when all of the other stations had their fancy snow machines and the Doppler 2000.
Right.
And they go, let's go. Like, they got graphics and everything.
Right.
Channel 9, this is just the beginning of the digital evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Channel 9 would have at 12 noon a guy that would sit there and look like he was constipated and hadn't had a solid movement in a week, and no matter what the story was...
But he was charming.
Yes, it is in his own old man way.
Uh-huh. And he had that voice like this. He wasn't like Bob Dole, but he was more like this. Bob Dalton.
Yeah, it was even when it was...
Hey, man, my Bob Dalton be more up here. Bob Dalton was more here.
Bob Dalton.
With big horn-rimmed glasses.
Well, it looks like a nice day.
I mean, he'd always kind of be looking sideways at the camera. He'd always be sitting there going... All right, here we go. Here's an update from the news desk. They'd go up to the newsroom, and he'd be up there sitting sideways looking at the camera.
So, anyway, this lady, J.C. Hayward.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Who has kind of a lisp.
Just a flight one.
She's like a grown-up Cindy Brady.
Yes.
And she's got a wide variety of wigs.
I think she's super.
Anyway, what's it? Oh, Channel 9. Okay, yes. So, Channel 9.
Yes.
Has been calling me about, they want to do something about dealing with the loss of a loved one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, I have felt good and bad about it, but the more I think about things, especially since after vacation I'm feeling better, I think that maybe I do have something that I could offer someone who has been through a similar situation, someone who's going through what I went through and I'm continuing to go through with Frida.
Mm-hmm.
And... The guy, it's the guy I like, right, Rob?
Derek McGinty. Yeah.
Right, Derek McGinty. Okay, now,
Went to school with Derek.
He's like a real journalist.
Yes. So I think I might be in the same class with Derek.
So I guess what I was going to throw out there, Mike, you're not in his class.
Call me when you have no class.
I was going to throw out there.
No, but I believe we graduated in the same year.
Ah. You know, do you think it would be, the one thing I don't want to, and I've already told Rob, because Channel 9 keeps calling, and apparently they want to do some story about how I'm getting along, you know, without Frida and what's happening. I told Rob what I didn't want was for them to come in and shoot B-roll of us doing the show.
No.
And have the whole thing really be like, you know, where you watch my hands go up and down the control board and you see the little needles going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So
the usual.
So the question is, you know, is it in good taste, I guess, if I'm coming right out front and saying, don't do it like to promote the show, and
right.
Don't to Channel 9.
You just said if you can, you know, offer some insight that can help other people in a similar situation.
Yeah, well, then I guess I'll do it. Yeah. And then I guess to do it. Because they've been calling for a while, and they're very nice over there.
Yeah. Yes, they are. So, very nice to ask.
And when you mentioned that J.C. Hayward is being promoted, what they did was they took her off the 5 o'clock news,
uh-huh.
and they've made her... I like.
What did they make?
An executive.
I read the thing and I didn't know what they made her.
They made her the
managing editor or something.
The director of hat pins or bobby pins or
yeah.
what?
Kick her upstairs.
You know, now based on this conversation, I certainly hope they're coming to you. I hope you're not going down there. Make sure they come out to your house with the report.
Oh no, they're not coming to my house either. They're coming. If they come, they'll come to the radio station. Mm-hmm. Right, we'll just do it in the office.
I think JC keeps the noon news because she was doing noon and 5, right? So she keeps the noon news, and she's going to continue to do her segments like JC's Friends.
Yes, right. Okay, all right. But they said promotion.
Yes.
They said promotion.
Yeah, okay. That's what you say to someone who's been at the job for 35 years, and if you canned her, you would have some type of public outcry. Although, really...
I like her, though.
Channel 9 should just do what they've done with all the people that they think are useless. They should just fire her.
Send them over to Channel 7.
And let her go work at Channel 7. Because, really, Channel 7... Channel 7 is the old... What is it they say now? 40 is the new 30 or whatever it is. Channel 7 is the new Channel 9.
7's the new 9.
That's right. 7's the new 9.
5's the new 4.
Right. 4 is the new 9.
Right.
And I guess 9's the new 5. Or hold on. 5's
9's
maybe
the old 5.
But you do have people who've been fired from Channel 9 who work at Channel 5, like Gervier Dinza.
Yeah, but it doesn't count. 9's the old 5. 7's the old 9. 4 is the new 5.
I think 4 is still 4.
Yeah.
4 still has... The thing about Channel 4...
4 was the goods. 4 was the goods way back when. I think Channel 5 is more of the goods now.
Nah, no. Channel 5 is more in your face. If it bleeds, it
9
bleeds.
Is better than 7.
Yep.
I don't know.
Well, 9's got high def.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, 9's got Tracy Neal.
7's got Alison Starling.
Yeah, but 7...
She stands alone on that one.
Hey, listen, well, you don't think Alison Star... Oh, I'm telling you.
No.
Here's
her eyes are too small.
Meaty.
Look,
right. you don't F the eyes.
If we're talking about anchors...
You're lucky you do.
If we're talking about anchors, I know that you think
she's attractive. She's hot. I got an eye for these chicks.
I don't think she's in Tracy Neal's category.
No, listen, Tracy Neal...
Both in the way that she looks and in the way she presents herself. Tracy, nobody paints herself up for TV like Tracy Neal.
Tracy Neal on Channel 9 is a goddess.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, a very close runner-up is Alison Starling. Mm-hmm. And if Alison Starling...
Can we agree on this? Can we agree that the entire market could use an influx still? Could use an influx of some female talent? Maybe.
Because, listen, for every single Tracy Neal or Alison Starling...
There's Megan McGrath.
There's 100 Liz Crenshaws out there.
When you mentioned Liz Crenshaw, there's something because really, you know what? I don't think we mentioned her enough.
Pig of pigs.
Right.
She does the consumer reports on Channel 9. She's the lady that they send out, like, you know, doesn't really do that.
Yes.
You know, the little product you buy on TV that will fold T-shirts just like they do in the store.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
how's that work? It doesn't really do that.
Right.
I'm Liz Crenshaw.
Isn't that something?
Look at the big, gigantic bags under my eyes.
Oh, and my favorite, Mount McGrath, is has now gone permanently, I believe, to the slicked back look. Because she was out in my neck of the woods, where a middle school student decided to shoot a school bus.
Hold on. I got to tell you something. While we were on vacation, I got an email from somebody that works at Channel 4. Somebody that works in the sports department.
Huh.
All the time that you and I have been ragging about Megan McGrath, do you know that up until like a month ago, she worked right up until she had a baby?
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
she was pregnant?
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, I'm not. She
wasn't pregnant. She didn't carry the baby in her teeth.
Just because you...
Clearly.
Nor in her hair.
And the hair, I don't know what it is. She had it again today. Did you see it this morning when they went out to her?
It is. You know what it is like? It's a cafeteria worker's hair that you know has been in a hairnet all day. I mean, honey.
Really, she waters it, mousses it, and slicks it back.
Mm-hmm. Do something. Fix that. Fix
it's got
that
Jerry hair. Lewis hair.
So anyway, tell Channel 9. I guess so, Robbie.
Okay.
Sure. As long as it's McGinty.
Yeah.
I like McGinty.
Yeah.
He's good.
I don't want McDermott.
Todd McDermott?
Jeez. Male model. Hey, how you doing? Todd McDermott. Remember one day, didn't we play the promo Channel 9 has on the air for him with him, like, playing guitar with
the
his
internet,
teenage sons?
Uh-huh. McGinty can't make it. They're sending Tony Pan. I hope that's okay.
Would you let Topper do it?
Topper shot the weatherman.
Good old Top.
The little tiny weatherman.
I like Topper.
All these TV people. Yeah, bring them down. Okay. What the hell? But listen, really, tell Derek McGinty I'd be glad to do it.
Right.
I'd be glad to share my story, as long as it's not over-publicized. It's not like a commercial for the show. And I demand, seriously, an autographed picture for myself of J.C. Hayward.
Bingo.
I mean, Mike and I only been on the radio for 20 years talking about her every week, every month.
That is very little to ask.
That's
that
reasonable.
Is very, very little to ask. Mm-hmm.
I'll put in the call. I'll pull the string.
Okay. And I'd like, whatever she writes, I'd like it to be intimate.
Understood. You want the pose of her on the weather terrace?
The weather terrace. When it's warm.
Yeah.
Not the winter coat one.
I like it when it's a little chilly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, let me point out, because we're not officially on yet. This is all pre-show, so none of this counts on anyone's permanent record. I have to thank, as long as we're talking about lovely ladies, mm-hmm. our former producer, Beth Ann McBride.
Yes, you were speculating on her yesterday.
I have to think that when she called me at home 2 days ago when I was really too busy, and I was with tax stuff, mm-hmm. to talk to her, I got the feeling that she had recently gotten what for. That she'd been celibate for 11 years.
Yes, and that had ended.
And I got the feeling when I was talking to her that that's what she wanted to chat about.
Right.
The fact that the streak was over.
That the love life has been rekindled.
Well, normally when we talk about Beth Ann, even if it's a fleeting mention,
just fleeting.
Someone emails her, someone instant messages
she's got
her.
Spies, like a lot of people do.
Yeah, and she will either call in as she has on the show, or right. she will email me or something like, "Were you guys talking about me?" Well, you know, I just think it's very interesting. That's interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
That normally all we got to do is say her name, and someone instant messages her, and before I get home, I've got a message like, you know. Hi, Dad, it's Beth Ann. Right. Are you guys talking about me? Did you need something? Everything okay? How's Mike? How's Buzz? How's Rob? How's Travis? Okay, bye. I mean, you know Beth Ann.
Right, right.
Well, yesterday I pretty much said I thought she got some.
Mm-hmm. You did.
And she has not called back to say yay or nay, which makes me think that the guess I have could be right.
Well, that's why we should call her on the air. That's Mike's idea. He likes that.
See, now that's the difference between me and you. You get very uptight when I talk about Les Moonves and Julie Chen. I would feel as awkward calling Beth Ann, only because we've done it once.
Yeah.
And didn't we like almost ruin her show that day?
Yeah, is she off the air now?
No, she's on every day.
Depends. Is she on in the afternoon? Good afternoon.
Yeah,
is she on in the afternoon?
Yeah, she's on the same time. Don't you remember when we called? And
that would require being thoughtful if I knew what time she was on.
But hold on.
It kind of went for off. I thought she was midday.
Don't you remember? Oh, this is recent.
Yeah.
When we called her, don't look at me laying talk your head like a dog. We called her, and we didn't realize, we called her like off the air, called the request line, told Rob, pick it up because somebody told us she was doing some segment that we had to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just took the call live on the air.
Yeah. Right. Right. She had the only reason she could talk to us is because she was having that doctor coming up or something during the hour.
And now you remember.
Yeah, she's on in the afternoon.
There you go.
So it would screw her show up. But you're right, and you don't want to do that.
No, I don't, because I feel awkward about that. Mm-hmm. Like you feel awkward about Les Moonves.
I feel awkward about my paycheck. That's what I feel awkward about. That's the way, you know, so it's solely mercenary that I feel awkward about that. That's the only time you'll see me really get uptight, if it involves my mother in the Catholic Church or Les Moonves in my paycheck. That's the other, otherwise,
the
secret. Yeah, otherwise, you know, I'm okay.
Hold on. There's the whole kid thing.
Well, that's because I have kids. Yeah, you can probably go down a whole list of stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Don't get super uptight.
No, you got a lot of hot buttons. I have to say the Moonves is maybe, right now, it would be in the top three of your hot buttons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know the number one hot button.
What's the number one hot button?
Oh, when I say that you have topless waitresses at your show bar.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The guys were laughing about that the other day.
Look around, Cafe.
So I guess that I'm not feeling the heat as much as the other. They're not even as uptight as I am.
Oh, that's...
You know, you've met Jeff, my buddy
what's
Jeff.
What's the fun there?
Jeff listens every day and apparently enjoys that.
Jeff is great.
There? But I don't like it. I don't like it one little bit.
If I could mention, though, when you do go to Mike's, mm-hmm. go to the men's room. check out the glory hole.
Yeah. Well, it goes to a totally different room.
It sure
not affiliated with the restaurant.
It sure does. One more thing real quick here. Behind the scenes, love taking you folks behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yesterday, or the day before, I think I made certainly not a groundbreaking announcement, but I said that we weren't going to be doing low-budget Jeopardy on Fridays anymore.
Right.
And the reason for that is multifold,
mm-hmm.
as Lee Elia would say.
Yeah. Right.
It's a bit that me and Mike have been doing for 20 years. It's really just a dumb morning zoo, you know, answer trivia question thing
mm-hmm.
that I got bored with, I don't know, 10 years ago. So I said to Mike, you know what we better do? We better make this like which really just Mike doing one of his bits.
Right.
Imitation. And that's what we do. Before we do the game, I come in and do that.
Yeah, and then over the years, as we continued doing the show, and you know, we would get people who didn't necessarily know a lot about pop culture, and
right.
you know, I mean, anyway, I figured a way to gauge the pulse was I went to the BM Eaters site. I went to the fan site last night.
Well, right. How'd they react?
And rightly so, they are up in arms.
Are they really?
There's like a whole thread, you know. I won't read it now. It's funny. I laughed about it last night. It's funny. You know, it's like, Don, what are you thinking? This is one of the best bits of all time. Listen, here's the deal on Jeopardy. The bit is Mike doing, you know, one of his voices.
Right.
The thrill of this Jeopardy thing is never like, what's the number one movie rental? I mean, like, if you want crap like that, mm-hmm. go listen to any He Said, She Said radio show out there.
No, yeah. And the only part I was concerned about was mine. And then right. my part right. stays.
We yeah, certainly right. didn't care who won or
you
lost.
You call it a Friday favorite. I'd like to rename it the Friday Visit.
Yes,
there you
fine.
Go. That's what it's changed.
Like Friday it. Visit.
It's instead of the Friday favorite, it's the Friday visit.
You know, and
who's at the door on the Friday visit?
And
that's there. That's right. It. It's the same thing.
Right. And I do like reading the feedback from our most rabid of fans.
Of course.
You know, but one of the things that I read was it's funny. Like, you know, doesn't Don realize that Mike's impressions are really the reason I listen to you? So, you know, like that's the only time during the entire week that you ever do a voice.
Yeah, I mean, I do a voice every day. At some point, I'll do something like that. Yeah. I mean, that's what I do.
But one thing that all you BM Eaters
out
there...
You don't get as mad as I do on Low Budget Jeopardy when we have somebody that's, you know, some asshat that's just, you know, screwing the whole thing up.
What you BM Eaters I just have to deal with is the fact that, you know, the show is kind of having an evolution, okay? And listen, I'm sorry for any of you out there, and I'm talking just about the diehards, like that go to the message boards, that really feel bad that we're no longer going to be asking you, like, what Linda Ronstadt's favorite color is. Okay? I mean, really, I went to this thing last night, and I laughed, because
right.
someone had written, there was a post that was something like, they took it from five categories to four mm-hmm. to three. And I used to really like it when they would do What's New with the Video Store because I could actually study in advance. Now listen, if you got to like read Entertainment Weekly so that you can answer a question, a dumb trivia question on a Friday edition
right.
of this radio show, this is the wrong show for you, Kat.
But you know why it makes sense to me?
I mean that.
Because the people that would call in for that didn't give a rat's ass about what I was doing. Do you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
they would
yeah.
really. Am I right about
yeah,
that?
You are right.
What they would be about
usually,
always, forever.
Just why would
was the quiz?
How do I get? How do
that's
I get it?
Yeah, the quiz, or more, even more than getting something is how do I get it? I want to show that I'm right. I want to show that I'm right.
Right.
So listen, don't get your panties in a wad, right. all you super fans of the show that go to the message boards. Mm-hmm. Just chill out.
Right.
I know what I'm doing. That's why I'm here, and that's why you are there. But continue to write, because I read
enjoy
what you
it.
Write. Yeah. I love the fact that you hang on every goddamn word we say.
Very good.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Some of you are really upset. Well, if you want a challenge, buy TV Guide and try the crossword puzzle.
That's perfect.
If you want a challenge as tough as listening to Low Budget Jeopardy, go ahead, knock yourself out.
It's right there.
Okay, have I made that clear?
I think so.
Okay. Crystal.
Crystal.
All right. Let's just take the temperature real fast in the room. Where's the boodaloo-doo-doo thing?
Everybody bend over.
Where's the boodaloo-doo thing?
I don't know.
Now we can't work with it. Ah, there it is.
It was
for
hiding.
Goodness sakes, the boodaloo-doo thing. Oh, there you go. Hi, boodaloo-doo. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Is this Joe?
No, this is Don and Mike.
We're right here, ready to believe you.
Hello, Mr. Dumas.
I'm Dumas. Hey, what about Big 100?
What about Big 100?
Do we already got one classic rock station in this town. What do we need two for?
Sir, let's all stop for 1 second and think how little, collectively, we had, not only you and I and people listening, but everybody in the town, that Washington, D.C., thinks about this. Who cares? One of the radio stations here changed format.
Mm-hmm.
You know, BFD, if you want to know really my take on it, it's pretty much the same radio station as it was before, minus about 40 records.
Mm-hmm.
Minus the Motown.
And minus their whole on-air lineup.
Yeah, their super lineup of oldies, yeah. DJs.
Their old DJs are all gone.
It hasn't been the same since Kathy left.
Whiteside.
Oh, baby.
Where's Whiteside now?
She's working in Baltimore.
I think so, yeah.
She's working on Fart 101.9.
She works at Paul John.
That's where she works. Get out of here. Would you get off the phone?
Hey, what about, are you guys going to start doing If I Didn't Read It, I Wouldn't Believe It?
Yeah.
If I didn't read it, I wouldn't believe it.
See, that's like exactly why we should have stopped doing that Jeopardy dumb, stupid questions. Jesus Christ.
Whew.
Well, that's a burden lifted.
I think so.
Sure. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, dumb question. You guys used to be local from 3 to 4 and then nationwide 4 until whenever.
Right. Dumb question. You're totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a time.
Never a time.
There was a time when we would be on from 2:30 until 3, and then at 3 o'clock we would go on nationwide. We would be local for 1.5 hour.
That's right.
I am Mr. Dumas.
Though. Yes, you are.
Goodbye.
Bonjour, Dumas.
But what was the...
Well, you blew his whole premise.
That was Tom Kelly.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, do you think since you're going through a change now that you'll be ready to watch Mike's...
Hi.
I always enjoy that.
He went through you to get to me. I don't like that.
Finger guy.
That was very devious.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
This is Greg. Put the skit back. From the front office.
We're keeping the skit. We're getting rid of the game. Is this Greg Gillespie?
Oh, you're pretending to be Gillespie.
Yeah. I want the skit back.
All right, I'll give you points, at least for your concept.
Put the skit back.
The skit.
We'll keep doing the skit.
The sketch.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
If you do Jim Nance talking about the Virgin's wedding form in Muslim heaven, you can never do Jeopardy again as far as I'm concerned, and it's even.
If we what?
What are you talking about?
When you guys are talking about Jim Nance's religion, the impressions.
When we were talking about Jim, you mean when Mike was doing Jim Nance?
Yes, and talking about him being a Muslim with the Virgins in heaven.
Yes.
Don't even need to ask the questions again. Just
see, I believe he's echoing what we're saying, Mike.
He's trying to pay a compliment.
Don't look at him physically. Like, what he's saying is,
yeah,
come on, Mike.
You know,
no, come on. Just,
you know why I'm upset?
I know,
now,
but don't be upset because we're doing gymnastics today,
sir.
But don't worry, Mike.
Damn it! I hate it when somebody does that.
He's spoiled.
It's like peeking at my cards.
Bye.
God, maybe. He just sensed that it was Masters Weekend.
Mike, it's timely and it's topical. Why wouldn't Jim Nance be?
The only excuse we get to do between now and football season.
Here for the Friday.
The natural.
Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Hello, I'd like to take Message Board Losers Without a Life for $2, please.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Now, listen, these people are okay. I'm not ragging on them. No. You know, it's just I was reading it last night. I thought, funny. Amazing. These people are funny.
Yeah.
Hello, Donna, Mike.
How's it, people?
Hi.
Hey, roll with it, Don. I like this idea.
Good. Well, I was waiting for your okay, so there you go.
You got the clearance from this guy.
What's your name, incidentally? Hello?
He's gone. I think we missed him.
Nope. Well.
He's off to consult another show.
We'll
get it done.
There he goes. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I'm doing the TV Guide crossword puzzle. What's 6 letters for cousin on the Brady Bunch?
Cousin!
That would be
Oliver.
Oliver.
Robbie.
Thank you. Thank you.
Goodbye.
You are. Good luck with the rest of the puzzle.
Goodbye. Well, that's enough to at least warm you up for the show.
I think.
We will now break for some fabulous that's the other thing. Oh, I have to tell you real quickly, just so I was on the message board.
Right.
Somebody had, God, this is a long thread. I don't even have time to get into it now. Find it on your own. There's some guy that keeps writing stuff that he doesn't like the show.
Hmm.
Like, one of the things that he wrote was, Don is an idiot because he talks about how he hates the commercials and the sponsors pay his big-ass salary and right. What an ass I am. Anyway, so I read that and I start looking, and I notice as I'm reading in other threads that whoever this guy is on our fan message board that writes how he doesn't like the show, the people on the board have been after him. They gang up on him,
yeah.
And they found out that his IP is through CBS in New York, and more specifically, they found out that the IP is coming from right here inside CBS-owned radio station WJFK, and they have a conspiracy theory going that it might be program director Greg Gillespie.
Whoa!
Hey.
Posting stuff about us on a fan site.
Oh my
now,
God!
I know that's crazy. I know that's just our idiot fans on the internet. But
right, but who? but they did find that it originated from here.
Yeah, that was a thread that I was looking at. It's like 5 pages long, but it's like where they
Rob thinks it's Buzz.
Where they out the guy is where somebody writes in one of these threads, hey, you know, ass, how come your IP, I guess it's one of the
Buzz when he's smoking, is that you think, Rob?
It must be one of the webmasters or whatever who checks the guy's IP. And it comes up as, so you work for CBS.
Wow.
And right here, right in our own very building.
That's very,
someone
very
polluting one of our idiot fan websites.
Not necessarily surprising, but very interesting. It could be a number of people.
Get him, boys.
Bob Schieffer.
Bob Schieffer.
It could be anybody, but I got to admit, GG would be a promising one.
Yeah, I think GG might be real active. Of course, you know he's got to be active on the internet.
Because
I saw Dateline.
Because something tells me that there's a part of Gillespie, that the day that I was talking about how I hate commercials and how they slow the show down,
right.
There's a part of him that probably really on some level is dying to speak to me, you know, as a program director to say, God, you're breaking the number one rule. You
what
know?
Are you doing? Why are you slamming the sponsors?
I'll tell you why. It's not the sponsors.
No.
It's the bastards here.
I don't understand.
Here's the thing. Why we got to sell 9 minutes of commercials?
Yeah, why?
Why don't you sell three? Sell three and charge three times as much money.
Don.
Yes, Greg.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Anyway.
You're out of your mind.
Time for the part of the show I like the best.
Uh-huh. You're gonna sit in my office.
Some fantastic commercial production. Ooh, some great sponsors.
No good ones.
Really, think about that. I mean, God knows you do this in all other aspects of your life, less is more. Really, how about just run fewer commercials, but just jack up the rates?
How about you talk about something else? Okay? How about you talk about something else?
Are you writing
mono
about it?
Mono, I'm saying I'm coming to you as a man.
Are you writing about us on our...
I'm actually... This is the Greg Gillespie that he should be, you know?
Uh-huh.
How about you talk about something else? That's what you do. I'm just saying, you know, we're all trying to make a living here. Okay? Listen, why don't you come out with me? We'll have a glass of wine by the glass, smoke a fine cigar, and we'll chat.
Greg. Greg.
And please don't play those anymore. You're really, like, really pissing me off.
You don't like those? You don't think they're funny?
I think they're very funny.
Oh, that's funny.
I will now...
I will now switch into my impression of the real Greg Gillespie.
Okay.
I think they're very funny. They don't bother me. They really don't.
What say you?
See, that's funny.
Hi there.
Yeah. Duh.
Oh, we've got one that says duh, too.
Duh.
Okay, guys.
Okay, right, goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
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 I won't bother you.
We will
like what you do. I'm a fan.
And, you know, thank goodness he has stayed out of our way, which is why I guess he's going to a website now. At least...
The theory.
That's
only theory.
That's what I'm reading.
Right.
Hey, you're doing a cross-eyed face, Mike.
I'm a big fan of you guys.
We will officially start the show right after words from these bastards. These bastards right here.
Really good ones, though, coming up.
Yeah, good bastards.
Yeah.
Good bastard commercials coming up.
Doesn't bother me that you say that.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, just ahead of a laughing place. And, Patton Oswalt will be on the show.
Goody!
We'll do the open here in a second. I love looking at, you know, at our message board at one of our fan sites. When I was last talking about the site, did I not appear to be appreciative of what these BM eaters are writing about?
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody named Ecstasy writes...
Stace Young.
Writes, Donnie is belittling us BM eaters as I type this.
No.
He's so supercilious about the huge upset of the removal of low-budget Jeopardy has wrought on this board. As of this posting, the poll about Jeopardy has attracted the massive total of 2 votes, and there's about 15 total posts. What an outcry. F off, you self-important ass.
That's an angry person.
Now, first off,
angry person.
I am not only supercilious, I am super duper supercilious.
Okay?
I'm not silly and I'm not super silly. I'm super effing super dilly sillyicious.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a self-important ass. And I do occasionally like going to message boards to read what fans write about our show. Again, what is wrong about admitting that?
Nothing. Exactly.
What's wrong about it?
And you, as you said, you more power to them. Continue to stock those websites.
We merely enjoy
chat groups, websites, blah, 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 blah.
Chat groups.
Anyway. Chat groups.
Just remember, you F off out there.
Message
because
boards.
I'm the supercilious, self-important ass who you are listening to and writing about on a message board. Now, it's one thing for me to go on the message board and read, because see if you can get this into your little brain. You're writing about me. What person wouldn't want to have a message board where they write about you, good, bad, indifferent? It's because I'm supercilious.
Yes.
I'm supercalifragilistic.
We're going to get you a t-shirt. We're going to get you a t-shirt that says that. Supercilious man.
Supercilious, huge, self-important ass.
That's on the back of the t-shirt.
And there was an outcry. There was about 17 posts.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally, believe it or not, I do go there sometimes to see like what the diehards have to say.
You know what an idiot I am. I've gone to that website. I'm not really good at negotiating it. You know, don't you have to like log in or something like that?
No, you just click on.
Well, it's a mess.
Yeah,
it's not easy. It's not easy to get through it, in my opinion. It really isn't. It's you got to be kind of like a professional chat grouper.
Super silly ass. You're super silly ass about you self-important ass. No, I'm just looking to get some feedback. And as a matter of fact, I was very positive about all the people that posted there, except for you. Ass, F me, F you. F you. And incidentally, let me know when there's an Ecstasy or whatever your fake screen name is. Let me know that there's a message board about you. Let me know.
The Ecstasy.
Let me know when there's one about you.
Ecstasy. Ecstasy. I think I saw that down the red light district one time. Ask to see.
Ask for ass. All right, so now that the natives are all calmed down, I feel like we put all of our children to bed.
Everybody's calm and it's quiet. It's now time for mom and dad to have a drink.
Here we go.
Of course, that was in my house growing up.
And good for us,
the babies are put to sleep. Let the drinking begin.
We're officially starting the show, and only 47 minutes into the show.
That's good.
And we've also played at least one of those dreaded blocks of commercials.
There you go. Come on, you're killing me.
Here you go. Here's your favorite part, Greg.
I think about my laughing place.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6, or 1 and 5, or 2 and 4. Please check your local listing.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, now, you know what this is for me? This is just a personal moment. This is a group called the Sir Douglas Quintet. Little ditty called Mendocino.
Hello!
God damn, I love this. Me and one other person in the world know what this song is.
Hello.
Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Oh, it's nothing like that.
He's mentally retarded.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
What, Mike?
Makes me want to cut somebody's ear off.
All the hellos. We did the, let's see.
Hello.
Okay, right, but then we've got...
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we need this one on Friday.
I'm on my second beer.
And now let's introduce Rob. We've already opened the door. You're here, right?
I'm here.
You're here.
He's a lovable character. He's like the Kool-Aid guy.
He is fat.
No, he's just a little bloated.
Fats beware.
How's your poppin' candy?
Yeah.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Toothless Mailman, and all the ships at sea. And now, here they are, in the form of snakes and white robes aboard Jamie Farr's spaceship. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah! Thank you, Rob. Can you dig it? This is the Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode, everybody, on this Friday.
Oh,
I love you so.
Is this brand new?
This is 1969.
Oh, I didn't know what it was.
In Mendocino. They're right here. Bam, bam, bam. I like that organ, too. Oh, hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Don and Mike Show. I'm always grooving on the music there. A new episode of this Friday, 04-07-06.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
There we go. Mendocino. Good roller skater record.
Yes.
Used to play this all the time on Adobe roller skating hops.
Is this a hit?
Mendocino was the number one record.
Wow.
Back in 1969.
Wow.
Sir Douglas Quintet, but you never hear it.
Never. Yeah, nobody plays it anymore.
Heard it today.
Yeah. Thank you, Buzz.
What was that?
Heard it today.
Heard it today. 877-365-3636. That's our main telephone number. We got an 800 number, too. It's 800-636-1067. We've got a number if you're listening in Washington, D.C. You can call 202-432-1067. And you can also hear our fabulous scream.
That is caramel-colored like I've never seen caramel-colored before. I don't know what to make of that.
Mike, these are leavings. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Star Jones and her... she had breast surgery. What she did was she had them lifted,
mm-hmm.
and she had some type of implants put in.
Right.
And anyway, there was some type of syrupy goodness that came out of Star Jones.
Well, fill me up. In that case, now that you've explained it, give me another hit.
So if you go to DonandMikeWebsite.com, click on Listen Live, you'll get the stream, which is made of, today, a caramely Star Jones type liquid that I think came from
to one the of... top, please. Thank you.
That I think came to from one of her implants.
Jeez.
And you can email us anytime you want, DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Tastes like chicken.
Our man Johnny is back there. Our webmaster Yanni Norman, is answering emails while the show is on. So you can write it right now if you feel like it.
Hello. Hi.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
I want to ask Don. Is this Don?
Yes, it's Don and Mike and Buzz and Rob. We're all in the same room.
Wow. Listen, guys.
Wow.
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 Wanted to ask you that.
Yes,
Mendocino, Sir Douglas Quintet.
Yeah.
What was the other song they sang?
She's a body mover.
She's about a mover.
She's about a mover. But
I used
to
say she's a body mover. Oh, you're right.
She's about a mover. But I always used to sing it. She's a body mover.
I like that better.
She's a body mover.
Get your own show and you can play it someday. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
She's about a mover. That's the real title of the song? She's about a mover?
No, that's another song that they had.
Okay.
That's another song by the Sir Douglas Quintet.
She was asking about. She's about like to die. I'd like to fall out.
We've got that, don't we?
I think so.
Yeah, look for that. We've got that one, too, I think. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Speak to us.
Don and Mike.
Go ahead.
Hi, you're on the air.
How you doing? I just want to call. You're making my Beltway drive much more pleasurable than I probably deserve.
All right. See, now you know what that is? That's
what a nice compliment.
Flat-out compliment.
And a little self-deprecation in that also. I mean, you know, I think you seem to be down on yourself, sir, but don't worry about it.
No, it's just having to deal with this traffic every day, and you make it pleasurable to drive.
I know. It just sucks ass. I can't imagine, you know, anytime. Well, you know, Mike, you bitch about the traffic all the time when you go out.
Yeah, I got a story about that. You know, this has been since we came back. Whatever it is, you get pockets of traffic and you get particular times of the year mm-hmm. where you have just a week like we've had here in Northern Virginia. And what happened was, at one point this week, it was not coming home from work, it was going to work. And I've been so frustrated because every night this week, it's been the commute from hell. It's been a little worse than
goodbye,
it normally is.
Goodbye, friend.
So it's worse than it normally is. So I'm in traffic coming to work. I don't know whether it was Tuesday or Wednesday. And I'm going in back as somebody who's going 15 miles an hour in a 55 zone. You know, and everybody gets that once in a while. And I'm sitting there, and I'm doing the thing that I always do if I'm in back of somebody with my hands, these spastic gestures, where I'm not giving obscene gestures, but I'm just going, come on, what are you doing? What are you doing? Come on, come on, come on, come on. And then I look over to my left, and it's somebody I know. And I think it's somebody, I didn't know whether it was somebody that thought I was gesturing to them or I was having some sort of seizure, but I look over to the left, and I see the guy, and it's this buddy of mine, Ryan, who's next to me. It was Ryan Seacrest. And I look at him, and he's looking over at me, and he's just kind of looking like, dude, not even saying a word, just the smile said to me, dude, like, what is your deal? What is wrong with you? And I was just going, come on!
Well, if it was a friend.
Right.
I know you're saying hi, but if it was a friend.
How are you? I'm an idiot.
No, but why didn't you just say to him, speed up!
No, he was in the left. I was in a two-lane road, was passing me on the left.
I understand.
And it was one of those situations where I was completely boxed in,
right.
And I'm in back of this truck or whatever, and my hands are going, what is the problem? What is the problem? And I look over, and in the midstream as I'm in this intense thing, I go, what is your deal? Ryan! How are you? How's it going? I just felt like a total ass. I really did. He seemed to be amused, so I think he knew what was going on, but maybe not.
Here's the other one. This is Al Qaeda. She's a body mover. No! She's a what mover, Robbie?
She's about a mover.
She's about. A-B-O-U-G. Right here on the big K-L-I-T.
K-Light.
K-Light.
Just another hit.
K-L-I-T. You'll know it when it comes to the hook. Can be.
Hey.
Here we go, right here.
Now.
Hi, Madonna. She just walked by the window. Bam. You don't recognize it?
No.
Yeah, I'm asking the wrong guy anyway.
Yeah, I'm the big idiot that I don't know what?
That's what I'm saying. Correct. Thank you, Buzz.
What?
You're a rocker.
You weren't into pop music. You were into rock music, and that's why you wouldn't be familiar with that song.
That was a big hit record.
That's I can't help it, man. That's to your credit,
listen,
really.
I can't help it that I was a rocker.
That was a big hit record.
Mike never mentioned Sir Douglas.
I was listening to Zeppelin, man.
But I just saw Madonna, the sales lady, walk by the window.
Yes.
The sales lady that was very rude to Buzz.
Accidentally, and she's apologized, and I've accepted, and now I feel badly. But anyway, it's all worked out.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I hadn't had a chance to update you, but yeah, everything's fine.
So making up with Madonna is just about the best thing in the world.
Well, that's why I, you know, started it.
Really is.
Yeah.
When she really gets you mad, she
makes up sex.
Oh, boy.
Boy, you go down to the electrical room with Madonna.
Yeah, and if she's really done something to offend you,
it's
proportionate to how much time she gives you.
And the reason her hair is frizzy.
She's the greatest.
Baby.
She truly is.
All better now.
Oh, listen, this weekend, even though, well, you know, they might be listening now on the internet, actually, up in Minnesota. I want to say hi to my daughter, who tomorrow has her 6th wedding anniversary.
Wow. Congratulations.
And then on Sunday, my oldest grandkid, Addie Jo, she turns 5.
Wow.
So you do the math there, okay?
Mm-hmm. It's all legal.
6th anniversary, child celebrating 5th. Birthday.
Perfectly all right.
Very kosher.
There you go. Everything okay. So if you guys are listening up there, howdy. Howdy hi.
Howdy.
Howdy hi. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, I'm finding there's nothing better really than being a grandpa, because really the pressure is off. as far as sending the correct gift or coming up with something for a kid. Right. Because I'm finding the magic of the grandpa magic is a $20 bill.
Right.
Oh,
really.
Yeah.
I mean, beyond being thoughtful, which I try to do like on Christmas or something, like by getting whatever Barbie house or whatever it was that
whatever
she wanted. Or the leapfrog thing.
Right.
Like something is supposed to be a video game where you're supposed to learn how to do stuff.
Sure.
Generally speaking, you know, I don't know your experiences with grandpas, but mine with grandpa and grandma is always just like, yeah, there they are. Well, they're like ATMs.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I even got one of the little that says, like, you know, hey, you're five, and it's got a little spot for whoever's head it is there in the middle.
Oh, see, that's the greatest. I mean, I know I had an uncle like that.
So, like, the president, whatever dead president's there, it's like he's in the middle of Scooby-Doo's van.
Right.
So you can immediately see, oh, my God.
Money.
He sent money.
Uncle Bill Sheehan, God rest his soul, had only, well, I don't want to hurt his feelings, but he's dead, so it doesn't matter. He had one eye that kind of wandered, so when he'd look at you, you know, we used to work with a guy like that, and it would actually be it'd be working the other direction. So he'd look at you, and you never knew if he was talking to you. But you know what was great? He would always have the little narrow envelopes. And at the time, it was a $5 bill.
Bingo.
It used to be dollars, then it was a $5 bill.
Today's 20 is the new 5.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right. That's the inflation.
So that's nice. Hi to them if you're out there listening on the computer. Thank you for the Sharpies, Rob. And, Rob.
Yeah.
So last night, I'm watching CSI.
Of course.
My favorite show of all time. Watching it in high def, loving it. Got it up, turned it up super, super loud. Phone rings. I'm thinking, who? Now, you know, who in their right mind calls during CSI?
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, you see, it's Rob Sell.
Mm-hmm. I thought twice, but I knew you could pause it.
So it's no problem to TiVo it. Or as someone said to me today, I was out this morning just running some errands, and the guy at the store next to CVS, it's like where you drop off stuff that has to be fixed, like toasters and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Emmett, the guy.
Emmett's good job.
Okay, the guy says to me.
Thanks for coming by, Don.
The guy says to me, seriously, do you have a TiVo?
Oh, no.
And, and I looked at him for a second, and I went, do I have a TiVo? I swear to God, I said, no, I don't. I have a Cadillac. And I pointed to my car.
Right.
I swear to God. And he said, you know, the TiVo, the thing, you watch TV, you've got that, right? I said,
TiVo.
Oh, I said, TiVo. He said.
What bunker has he been in where he would pronounce it like that?
This is an old guy with TiVo.
It's fixing toasters.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, I was able to, with my TiVo, pause it last night, get the call from Rob. Let me just describe the call. I pick it up, I go, hello, and it sounds like he's calling from a war zone. he's taking his family to the circus last night, the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. He says to me, Robert, his son, 3 years old, my godson, says, Robert had a gigantic... First, he starts telling me how much everything costs. He said, I want you to know, Robert had his $10 cotton candy, and Julia had her $17 lemonade.
That's crazy.
And Robert had his $24 whatever it is other thing.
The lemonade was only $7, Don.
He said, and the good news is that because of a scheduling conflict with the tickets, we got better seats, and we ended up being in the circus parade.
I brought show and tell.
No.
And yes. I am a circus celebrity.
Yeah. You could not have, it might as well have been that chick that was in Iraq that was being held being held hostage. It was like one of the tapes that Al-Qaeda makes her put out, or not a propaganda tape, but like where she would be saying, please take me home, because it was Rob, and he was talking to me, and he's trying to vent. Well, you were on a shuttle bus, right?
No, I was in my car. It was just the four of us.
I thought, okay. There was so much goddamn noise.
You're right.
I thought you were on a shuttle bus because I heard Robert screaming.
Mm-hmm.
I heard your wife, Carrie, yelling at Robert
to pipe down. And Julia was
there's
hearing.
There's a fine line between spectator and performer, and you're about to cross it.
I'm going to tell them where they can put those clown red lips.
So here's the tone that he says to me. He says, hey, you want to know how great my night has been? And he goes through all the prices for everything. Then he says, and we had the good luxury of being in the first row. And at this point, the voice gets a little lower, because obviously he doesn't want the wife to hear. It says, and we got to be in the circus parade.
And it got to where it could have been really horrifying, because the first thing Robert wanted when we got in our seats was cotton candy.
Of course.
He's been talking about it for 3 weeks that he wants his spun sugar.
Mine are 10 and 8, and they still want the cotton candy.
So we get to our seats, and right away, Carrie takes Julia and Robert, my kids, up to, you know, the concourse where they can buy lots of things.
How much was the cotton candy?
Cotton candy was $10.
Wow.
It came with a hat that smelled like B.O., though, so that's okay. So they're up there, and this clown comes up to me. He's dressed in a Scottish theme, and I don't know how you can make a clown more horrifying.
Get in my belly.
Except give him a tam o' shanter and orange sideburns.
Mr. Spiewak, you're crap. Now join us in the parade.
He says,
you're going to be in the show.
And I said, what? And he hands me the circus celebrity pass.
Is this just you?
And I'm there by myself. And I said, because I'm watching like the coats and stuff. Right. I said, I got kids. I got to go get them. He says, you can have 3 minutes. Go get them. And so the whole thing is that I'm
so you grabbed the kids to be in the parade.
Yeah, I was scared that I was going to have to be in the circus parade by myself as a grown-up, kind of scary. So I get him back in time, and we stand, and Robert dances out there, and it's pretty cool for him.
Right.
But then they put us in the circus train.
this is what he hated.
What did you look like in the circus train?
Oh, it was a good fit.
Well, listen, here's the thing.
Did you like when they put one of those little like dogs on a train, you know,
yeah,
and you're just
and
like oversized?
There's no fit, and we're being pulled by a giant shoe.
Rob on a train, even on a regular Amtrak train, is like Steve Martin wearing that little cowboy hat.
Yeah, Rob, even on a standard rail car, Rob has to cut a hole in the ceiling so his head will fit through.
So we get in the circus train, we're being pulled by the shoe, and we're being just pulled around the perimeter of the Patriot Center.
This is where they do, and it's the greatest show on earth.
Yes,
and the ring must.
And I really just wanted to jump under the giant shoe.
Oh, you loved it.
But, you know, there was elephants.
Didn't.
There was elephants, and they're nice.
You enjoyed the circus. That really is, that's pretty pricey. Even by, like, amusement standards.
Yeah.
$7 for a lemonade?
$7 for the lemonade and $15 for the snow cone.
But the sound, yeah. And that's what really made my head go, wow. $15.
It came in a horse mode.
I mean, when you think about going to a ball game, for example, you say, what, the beers, you got, what, $5.95 maybe for
roughly
a really good beer at a ball game. And when you got a price for a lemonade that is, you know, actually higher than that, that's pretty strange.
The sound really in the car, and I thought you were I thought you were on a tram.
I wish I was.
Because your voice was lower than usual because you didn't want your wife to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert was just like this. All I heard was...
And you go up to that concourse, and of course, you know, it wasn't just the food. There's the battery-operated toys that spin.
Yeah.
And they had to have those.
Now, Ringling Brothers controls all the concessions, too, right? That's part of their deal?
Yes, they do. And I think my favorite moment is I had to go up, and I excused myself for a moment to go to the bathroom. So I went up to the concourse, which is empty because the show is on, except for one guy who, he weighed an ounce. He weighed 400 pounds. Standing up there eating an ice cream cone.
There you go.
Not watching the circus.
Sure.
Just by himself.
No, he's the guy that just came for circus.
Enjoying his
circus
$14 ice cream cone.
So I want to
be out there for the next 14 nights in a row.
Hail Barnum and Hail Bailey. And hello to the Ringling Brothers.
Ringling.
I hope they enjoy my money. And thanks for making me a circus celebrity.
There you go. And you can save that pass.
Yeah, I think I will.
He was so, there goes
the show on earth.
Last night, really, the underlying message was, really, if there was a gun available,
right,
Rob would have put it in his mouth
the
last
night.
The
only thing that saved it was that the kids had a blast. And it's still great for kids.
Well, that's what the circus is about.
Robert lasted until like 10 minutes till the end, but the greatest thing was Julia's sugar crash happened about 2 miles from my house. And, you know, we're all in the car, we're all hyped up, and this is what I get in the back seat. And this is not an exaggeration. I'm so cold!
I'm serious. His kids were screaming like exorcist babies.
Wow. Because she ate a whole cotton candy.
Yeah.
And cutting through all of that was Carrie. And I've never heard Carrie use her outside voice.
I have.
Well, I know you have. I've never really heard the sharp, disciplinarian
yeah.
because it was just Robert just with that one level of blood curdling scream. Yeah, which is all, I don't know what he wanted, but whatever he wanted, she wouldn't let him have it.
He wanted French fries that we didn't have.
In the car?
Yeah.
He wanted to use the special food replicator?
Yeah, we just walked a mile to the car at the Patriot Center, sure. and we got there. There were no French fries.
Right.
And he wanted them.
Did all the bathroom breaks go according to plan?
Who knows?
You never know with kids.
Yeah, they were fine, actually.
I mean, kids are kind of, that is their job as kids to have the bathroom break. I mean, really, they can be by bathrooms for 6 hours in a row. Mm-hmm. As soon as you get into an automobile, they have to go to the bathroom.
They were fine with the bathrooms. It was just the sugar. Please, Mr. Barnum, curb this sugar.
He was so mad last night.
I'm better now.
What was your total time commitment with the circus last night?
We got there just after 7, and we were home by 10.
Oh,
it's
okay.
a two-hour show.
Yeah,
it's the greatest.
It's like getting root canal, though, with like no painkillers.
Exactly.
And like I told you, it's the good CSI, especially because Grissom wore that funky hat again.
Don't spoil it for me, please.
That's all I'll tell you.
Okay.
Is that he had that funky, that when he goes out in the field, that straw hat.
Oh, you're talking about hats. He saw plenty of hats last night. He went to the circus.
Kinds of hats.
The circus. And are there adults that are either, you're either a circus person or you're not, right?
You know, there was one.
I am decidedly not a circus person.
I like it. There was one single adult with us in the circus train.
Really?
That was weird.
You know what that means.
Yeah.
Kid Toucher.
Right.
Looks like Jonathan.
Kid Toucher. Yeah, one call. Then we'll chat with Pat Oswald, I think.
No.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you guys doing this Friday?
Doing very well, thanks.
Hey, Don, I got a question for you. This is a long time ago. You were going to produce a kid show. Do you remember that?
Don, I don't have any memory of that. I'm wondering whether you do.
Sure I do. I think it was, and I know it didn't fly for a lot of reasons. It was called Mr. Pants. I was going to be Mr. Pants.
Then the network wanted you to change it to Donnie's Doghouse. That didn't work.
No, I said I'm Mr. Pants.
Mr. Pants.
Because the object of every episode was there'd be something in
your pants.
Something in my
pants. You know, and they thought it was inappropriate, and I thought it was just adorable and touching. It was you coming out with those giant red suspenders and big gray pants.
Mr. Pants.
With huge pockets.
No shirt.
Right.
No shirt. My big myth.
Mr. Pants.
You know, and a straw hat like Grissom wore last night on CSI.
Stay tuned for Mr. Pants. Happy Saturday morning, kids.
Okay, we'll break here and come back. And when we come back from these bastardious.
You can make your own word up. You're on the road to making your own
word.
There
is no wrong answer.
Bastardious messages.
There you go.
These bastardious.
Mm-hmm.
These bastardian. Basturians.
That works too. It's whatever you like.
Basturians at the gates.
You can be very fastidious. That's a real bad guy that's neat.
After these bitchly commercials, after these wickedly bitchly, because it's bitchly.
Bitchly is good.
Bitchly Calcorn from Misery.
And that's also, coincidentally enough, that's what Rob had at the circus last night.
You're right.
That was $14 a bag of the Bitchly Calcorn.
After these bitchly commercials, uh-huh. we'll come right back with someone who's truly funny, Patton Oswalt.
He's bastidious.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I didn't say big pussy, Governor. All right, sit down. All of a sudden, Gilman wants to get into the mix here. No, I didn't say big pussy. He was the only one I didn't see. You say big pussy? Did you see big pussy?
I don't know. When you're holding up that stupid car.
Yeah, I don't think so. I didn't see big pussy, no. Well, then don't ask me if I saw him.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Regis.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You just don't value yourself enough. The fact that you would let them touch you is disgusting, and I don't want you to ever do it again the rest of your life.
Yeah, all right, pipe down, Phil.
Broadcasting Butterball Naked.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
I'm going to jerk a knot in your tail.
Okay.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Now, before we get Patton Oswalt on, I have a question that I'd like to ask Patton, but first let me just... being the petty guy that I am, I went back to the fan site,
mm-hmm.
and there's a response from that person, from Ecstasy,
mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. Hearing Don's rebuttal about my post about the relative non-uproar regarding the removal of Jeopardy is like arguing with a girl. You know, she's not going to stay on point and reduce everything to emotion. I was responding to his basement in the science building voice treatment of us BM-eaters, as well as his portrayal that there was this huge uproar on the board. All I'm saying is, Don, get over yourself. It's a bit. It's a show. You were mocking in your comments, though you did throw out a positive comment near the end of your diatribe. And by the way, something, if there were comments about me as a public figure, I would do as others in the public eye have. Neither good nor bad. Read, neither good nor bad said about me. Now, first off, you pathetic loser, writing about us on a message board.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
If you believe that crap, when, like, Jennifer Aniston says, I don't read the tabloids, or that she doesn't read message boards, you're full of crap. You're 100% full of crap. If you believe, and I'm not saying that I'm a celebrity in any regard, to in relation to anybody famous, really famous.
Right.
But, please, that's total crap. The people who I really truly believe don't read those are the people that are the most insecure because they're afraid to read something that's bad.
And I don't know.
Everybody reads stuff about them. If you're famous enough to have message sites, yes, you do.
They're all junk.
Well, you're doing Elvis now.
I don't read them. But I don't read movie magazines.
But I bet now. Is Patton on the phone?
Yeah, he's right there.
All right, I bet he would give us an honest answer. Now, here's a guy...
That would be interesting if Patton, because, I mean, Patton's been around the Hollywood scene for a long time.
Here's a guy certainly more famous than me, certainly more famous than you.
Mm-hmm.
Is he here? Hold on. Hey, Patton.
I love how you say Patton's been around the Hollywood scene for a while. Like I feel like Paul Lynde right now. I was over at the
Center Square
Club yesterday. I saw Sinatra yelling at Harlan Ellison. It was crazy.
I was in an ether frolic.
Ether frolic.
I'm such a stalker of you. It's ridiculous. It's insane.
Now in the lower left, Patton Oswalt.
The Hollywood scene. He was sitting there having a cigarette and a scotch with George Gobel.
Patton. I was reading from one of our...
I was having a smart cocktail with Rhea Perlman and Larry Linden.
Oh, we could do this for 4 hours.
Good, we could do it for 4 hours.
Mike Farrell showed up.
Mike Farrell?
The whole MASH gang.
Wired to the gills on E.
Who's the guy that played the agent for the Partridge Family?
Dave Madden.
Dave
Madden. Ruben Kincaid.
Ruben Kincaid.
Ruben Kincaid.
I met, hold on a second now, guys. I met Christopher Knight at the Brown Derby. Now, Christopher Knight was the middle Brady.
Peter Brady.
Yeah, he was the middle guy. Yeah, that's right.
And Patton, before we talk about your new DVD,
sure.
No reason to complain. Here's a question for you. Really, like, I was talking about...
I was at the Hollywood Bowl with Louis Nye.
Reading a... Oh, you know who else was there? Was Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda was there,
always
too.
Always there.
And his wife, Bernice.
My wife, Bernice.
Patty.
I was reading on one of our fan message sites.
Right.
Commenting to them about how I didn't like whatever they were writing. And then I said, besides, you know, blah, 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 I've got a message site. Mike's got a message site. You'd never be famous enough to have one anyway. And this douche writes back. I would do what other people in the public do. I would not read good nor bad.
I can ask Patton this question in the framework of not only his own life, but people he knows. You know, people in any kind of show business, they read this stuff by and large, the majority, don't you think?
Do you?
Anyone who says that they don't is absolutely lying.
Right, Patton?
They're lying. I'm
thank you.
Right now. I'm in between a specialthing.com. My IMDb page in a cool, my Wikipedia page. I waste so much time reading about myself on the internet, and so does everybody.
Yes,
exactly.
So does everybody.
And the Wikipedia, the thing about that is, really, you can write anything about anybody at all.
Including yourself.
Including yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get my kid, who incidentally, you know, I should stop calling him a kid. He's 21 now, and he's a huge fan of Patton's. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, God, I need a copy of that DVD for him. But what he did was he went on Wikipedia and redid whatever my biography was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, let's just say, less than flat. I mean, it had stuff like KT.
Right.
Kid touching.
Right, right.
And anyway, he calls me up and he says, hey, Dad, Boy, you're going to be so pissed. Go to Wikipedia and look at that bio, because there was something about Frida, you know, my wife that passed away. Mm-hmm. That and there's something very nice about her up there. But generally speaking, there's crap about everybody.
It's the anonymity. I mean, people can do anything.
So he says to me, this is my own kid. My own kid. Excuse me, adult son.
Right.
And I'm reading this, and it's like, Don is a known pedophile who was arrested stalking Haley Joel Osment. And I said to Bart, oh, now see, this is the type of thing, son, don't even tell me about this because I can't fight this. Right. I said, I can't find the person who wrote this. I can't complain about this. And he said, Dad, I wrote it. You know, and then I hear the room full of slack jawed yokels that he's with, and I got him to take it down. But anyway, thank you for straightening that out. The people.
Yeah, I'll say to my own credit, except for aspecialthing.com and jimgo.net, where I actually, you know, discuss things with people because those are actual discussion boards. So places like IMDb and Ain't It Cool and Wikipedia, I've never posted a single thing on there because I feel like that should be left to fate. Like, it's people should just. Other people should post about you, and you shouldn't affect that at all.
But you read them, don't you?
But I do. Oh, I totally read it. But I love reading on IMDb the biographies and trivia that were clearly written by the person themselves.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, especially when someone writes, has been drug-free for 2 years, and, you know, ready to be hired, like, clearly trying to get work.
What about the tabloids? And I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it? As far as the written tabloids, as far as...
Yeah, for the most part. Although, from what I've heard from friends of mine that work at... I know stringers at CNN and places like that, and mm-hmm. I used to work at the New York Times. Of a lot of the tabloids, it's just you can creatively crop a picture and tell 8 different stories. Like, if you read that, my wife reads the tabloids every single week. Wednesday and Thursday, I got to get her the new tabloid. She loves them. But if you look at them over the weeks, they'll use the same picture and tell different stories with it.
Right.
They'll
right.
show a picture of Christina Aguilera and go, look how fat she's going. Look at the cellulite on her ass. But then they'll use the same picture 3 weeks later and go, look how skinny she is. Look
yep.
at her legs.
Yep, exactly.
So they can totally just... So that's all BS. Although, from what I've heard from people that work at CNN and the New York Times, the National Enquirer is pretty much 100% true.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, it's gotten sued so many times.
Right.
Now, they actually have a really cracked back... checking staff.
Right.
And if you read something in the Enquirer, it's probably true.
Mm-hmm. Patton, your new DVD is No Reason to Complain.
Yay.
And this is your new stand-up, right?
Yeah, this is my one-hour special that was on Comedy Central. So it's about 60% new and 40% stuff that was on the album because the album sold really well and Comedy Central wanted me to do a special, like, right away, and there were certain bits they really wanted me to do. So I kind of had to fight with them a little bit. Well, I want to do some new stuff as well. I don't want to just repeat what's on the album.
Kind of tough, but I didn't see the special on Comedy Central, and with the restrictions of basic cable, affect your show, or they just beat you out of the network?
Oh, yeah, they beat me for the show. Like, okay. They even said, like, maybe you can adjust the stuff. I said, you know what, I'm just going to talk normally and you can beat me.
Right.
And then, because I knew they would release the DVD.
I mean, of all the
DVD
networks,
is totally uncensored.
Comedy Central, of all the, you know, all those, that's the only one I wish they would lift that restriction on, because I think it would be a lot better if they would, but they can't, obviously.
And Patton, I've got to ask you something. It's got to be like a tongue-in-cheek thing here. No reason to complain. I'm guessing your DVD is probably really full of you complaining about things.
You know, God, it's weird how you have that extra vision, Don.
Thank you.
A lot of me
Thank
complaining.
You. Thank you. Now, you can get this at Amazon.com, PattonOswalt.com as well. Before we hype that up, what about the comedians of comedy? What kind of reaction you get to that?
Really, really well. We just didn't like the... We didn't like the offer they made for the second season, so now we're shopping it around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the ratings were great, the feedback was great, but they had some ideas of where they wanted to take the show, and it was so where I didn't want to take it. So luckily, I owned the show, so I just said, I'm going to take this and shop it around.
Who is the guy with the bushy hair and the big, huge beard?
Zach Galifianakis.
Jesus, man. That is one strange animal, Patton, right there. He is a very, let me just say he's an interesting guy.
He's awesome. He's so funny.
And he's all over that. It's fun to watch.
What would be the number? Now, this would be like the only setup they ask you. We don't have the DVD, so we can't play a clip. But what is like the number one? Hey, Jay, what's your beef? what's your number one complaint on the DVD? What's the topic?
My number one beef? Probably the fact that conservatives have stolen rock and roll from us. That's what really gets me. Because like all the AM stations, all these, you know, fascist, racist douchebags like Rush
Limbaugh, yes.
All their break music is like really current, blasty-ass rock and roll. You turn to NPR, and I support NPR, I support it financially, I support it in theory, it's unlistenable radio. Their break music is this sad, lonely saxophone echoing through a sewer pipe. So you put on Rush Limbaugh, it's like, next on Rush Limbaugh, why black people smell different. But then you turn to NPR, it's like, next on NPR, we'll talk to a woman who makes macrame belts out of old typewriter ribbon.
Baby. And again, besides being funny, he's correct about that.
Yeah.
It's all in the package. That's why the goddamn Fox News channel. Really, I disagree with everything on Fox News, but I watch it. You know why? Because I'm ADD, and I love the fact that the flag changes every 2 seconds,
yep.
And that the little box in the corner tells me what time it is in Denver, and they've always got on the bottom of the screen, breaking news, Shep Smith just dropped a load. I mean, they've got so much happening on the screen. I don't listen. I really don't listen to the content.
You know what Tate Patton would love you to play? That new one you have of John Wayne. Patton would enjoy that. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I think he would really like to hear that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just tell you, Patton. I came in the other day. I said, this is an old PSA that John Wayne did. I said to all the guys, this is an out-of-the-park home run. Mm-hmm. I laughed. Like, fell on the floor laughing even the 10th time that I heard it.
Oh.
But having said that,
right.
You know, when I played it in here, I didn't exactly get I didn't get that.
We were stifling our laughter.
I love it. Thank you. Mike, thank you for the opportunity.
I think this might be a go. It's his kind of political incorrectness.
Here we go. Here's John Wayne.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are on a motion picture soundstage with John Wayne.
Scene 2, take 1.
I'm John Wayne. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine.
Hi.
Now you make yourself at home here, youngster, and I'll be back.
Okay.
Now, let me just stop it right here. Patton, I'll ask you the same thing I asked the guys.
Right.
Where do you think this is going?
He's, is the kid black or Asian or something like that?
No, he's
not.
A
little white kid. Right.
No, he's not. And also, I know that perhaps a lot of people, when they first heard it, thought that maybe it was like it was going to be some type of innuendo, like with kid touching,
Mayberry RFD type
right.
stuff. But no, it's not that, and we shouldn't say anything more.
Okay, so now let's roll it again from
roll
the
it
top.
Again.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are on a motion picture soundstage with John Wayne.
Scene 2, take 1.
Action. I'm John Wayne. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine.
Hi.
Now you make yourself at home here, youngster, and I'll be back.
Okay.
I've known that little fellow a while. He's mentally retarded. One of more than 6 million kids and adults. I thought some of you might like to help because the retarded can be helped. 2 years ago, Robert couldn't say hi. Well, you heard him. It may not sound like much to you, but to Robert's mother and dad, it's almost a miracle. Well, the National Association for Retarded Children and its nearly 1,500 local associations are helping
Come
to
on,
make
Mike, laugh out loud.
Miracles like this happen every day. It isn't easy. Help us.
Not easy being
right. Please.
Please.
Would you ever think John Wayne would be talking about that?
Wow.
Really retarded.
Good for Blake. I mean, you got to use that as a soundbite. Like, he's retarded.
Hey, hold on here.
He's mentally retarded.
There you go.
He's
mentally retarded.
Have you had a chance to meet our phone screener, Joe Ardinger Patton?
He's mentally retarded.
Chance to meet our program director?
He's mentally retarded.
Have a chance to meet most of the people listening to this show?
He's mentally retarded.
So, 1 to 10. Just rate it, you know, first hearing it, what's your thought? 1 to 10. Funny, not funny?
I would give it a 7. It's more uncomfortable than funny.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
Unfortunately, what's been circulating for years is his commencement speech, the drunken commencement speech, and that just can't follow it.
Oh, really?
Remember the one where he's at the college, and it's at the height of, like, all the student protests, and some kids had taken over the dean's office the week before?
Oh, you know what? Yes, we had that tape.
Did we have that?
Yes, we did.
And it is awesome. Like, that's when he goes, it's getting to be re-goddamn
ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he also says, my favorite is, he goes, the sentence is, if you guys don't start acting as men, we're going to have a lousy country. But the way he says it is, if you guys don't start acting as men, we're going to have a lousy. The way he says men, is it's like a coming out of a cannon.
He's mentally retarded.
Too great. It is too great. Oh, and of course, King of. Now, King of Queens.
Uh-huh.
I'm reading. Now, I know that you hate it when DJs say to you, I also like being on that show, but you are known from being on the show. And I read, like, in USA Today that the show is on the boil.
On the bubble.
On the bubble.
On the boil. I like that expression, though. We might have created something new. It's on the... You're on the boil!
I like on the boil is better.
On the boil, ready to burst.
Have you heard anything, if you're going to be working again on that TV show next?
I have not heard anything, and I'm telling you, I'm the last guy to know this stuff. I really am.
Right. So Spence is not going to get the first call.
Really? You don't think that they would tell you before they would tell that black guy?
They would tell the black guy first.
He probably gets more camera time.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
What about the woman that plays the black guy's wife? Would they?
They'll tell Patton before her.
Yeah, she's not like recurring. She's you know, whenever she's free from Elias or the other nine. She does like 8,000 shows. She's on everything.
Yeah. Here's a good parallel. Although she's not on as much as you, I don't think. What about that older lady that plays Kevin James' mom? Would they tell her, or would they tell you? They would tell you first, right?
They would probably tell me before her.
There you go.
What's besides you know the album and Comedians of Comedy? Is there anything else in the area of sitcoms that you might be involved with?
Let me think. No, not right now. Voiceover stuff coming up.
You mean cartoony kind of stuff?
Yeah, some SpongeBob, some more Kim Possible.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, I gotta tell you, it's funny you mentioned that. I, you know, my kid, as I mentioned, is 21. My daughter's 30. But I've never seen SpongeBob. But it was on the High Def channel the other day. The movie.
It's fantastic.
The SpongeBob movie.
Uh huh.
I gotta admit. I had a cocktail, and I watched the first half hour of the movie.
You get enough booze in you, and you like the fact that he lives in a pineapple under the sea.
Pretty good. It's pretty good. Who are you going to be on SpongeBob?
I'm the guy that used to have his job.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be the fry cook.
Can you hear the voice, please?
Well, I kind of read him like kind of a jock douchebag. Yeah, I'm doing better things now.
You know, is it a thrill for you to be in an animated thing because you're so into comic books?
Oh, yeah, especially like SpongeBob because all my friends are on that show. And it's like Tom Kenny, who's such a great comedian. But then the other guy that was the guy that played SpongeBob's boss, I didn't realize he was doing it, is that... who's the actor that was in, he was the bad guy in Highlander, and he was the mean prison guard in the Shawshank Redemption? I'm blanking on his name right now.
You know, I know it's not Rutger Howard.
It's not Rutger Howard. It's a guy that has that lantern jaw blonde.
Wait a minute, I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
Are you doing a search?
Yeah, I'm doing a search. Wait a minute, because I'm such a fan of his.
He's the guy that breaks down.
Clancy
they say.
Brown.
What is it?
Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown.
Okay. And he does, I didn't know that. He was also in Carnival. He was the main guy in Carnival.
He was the preacher. In Carnival, right.
Oh. But he's on like a billion cartoons.
That's got to be, I would imagine that's got to be a lot of fun.
He's like, oh, yeah, it's great. And to see him sitting there, he's like a huge guy, and he's doing all these little goofy voices, like, hey, SpongeBob, you know, he's like, whoa. But he's also like, he's the voice of Lex Luthor. Justice League, he's everything. It's awesome.
It just seems to me that you should not be necessarily on a situation comedy like you are now. Perhaps if there would, you know, if there would ever be another show like Arrested Development, you'd be outstanding.
You know what
like,
I see
like,
him?
Like if you could play, like I'm seeing you maybe as not a total not total, no arms and legs, but maybe just like no legs,
mm-hmm.
but like a fag guy
mm-hmm.
right.
with no legs.
Wait, that's a challenging role, Patton.
But
I could probably, the fat guy part I got down.
No, I said fag.
Oh, fag.
Not fag.
I really got that down.
A homosexual without legs.
Yeah, I mean, and not a total veg.
I see, with arms. I see Emmy Award.
Gay guy in a wheelchair.
Right.
That's right. Or even, or how about this? Somebody pulls you around like in a little red wagon. Yeah. I mean, really, what you need is some... Well, who am I to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that a guy like you, you could be shopped around to the networks and say, you want something avant-garde, you want something different.
Avant-garde.
You know what? There's a show I love called Huff on Showtime,
man.
And I see Patton as being almost an Oliver Platt type of actor someday.
Nice.
I mean, I hope you
love
take
Oliver
that.
Platt.
He is the greatest. He really is. I could see you doing
that. I was in a movie with him that no one saw.
What movie? What movie?
Zigzag.
What is it?
A little independent movie called Zigzag. But he is in it. Oliver Platt plays like this guy's boss. And he just steals. He is so unbelievable.
Yeah. He really is.
So funny.
And kind of, I mean, really, and I think kind of unsung and not getting the credit he deserves. He is amazing to watch.
Yes.
Did you see the movie that he did? I hit Mike to this around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. The movie with John Cusack. The Ice Storm.
That.
Listen, you really should rent that on DVD because I told this to Mike. The star of this movie is Oliver Platt because he plays an alcoholic, fat, out of control guy, and I swear to God, he is the best in that movie.
Yep.
In that scene when he shows up on Christmas Eve,
mm-hmm.
drunk at his ex-wife's house, and his pants are falling down around
kind of
his ankles.
It's the same kind of thing he does on Huff, really. It's really a similar kind of character.
And didn't I hype it up to you and you went to see it?
Yes, it is. It's a similar type of it. And he just lets it all hang out,
and
man.
It's really great. You would do that, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you play like an alcoholic guy that shows up at his ex-wife's house drunk on New Year's? Yeah, I mean, what I'm asking you, Patton, is, and it's a compliment, same thing that I think both myself and Mike feel about this guy, Oliver Platt. You would pretty much do anything in a role, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially if it was like really well written and let me do all kinds of weird stuff in a second.
Mm-hmm. You know, we root for you. We really do. Because, I mean, I think that, you know, you're so great and your stand-up is so phenomenal. And you could do that, obviously, for the whole day. You can do that the rest of your life. But I think, really, you know, even your other stuff, we just want to see more of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because the thing is, like, you could be not, boy, this would almost be a put-down. I don't want to put you down. It's like, you know, you're funnier than Jason Lee. And we like Jason Lee. Plenty fine, and that show's goddamn funny.
Mm-hmm.
That Earl show is funny.
Right.
I mean,
Jason Lee's great.
Yeah, well, now he's not as funny as you.
I don't know. He
likes comic books like you. Hey, hold on a second.
Oh.
What do you think about the new faggy Superman in the movie? Have you seen the new Entertainment Weekly? I know you've seen it.
Yeah, that cover doesn't look good, man.
I think that cover, the word that comes to mind is disturbing.
I don't like the suit.
That is a disturbing Superman.
I know it is a throwback, like to the 1930s, the original classic Superman suit. Don't care for the suit.
Yeah, me neither. There's something not right.
Oh, you know what I'd love to ask you about, as long as we're on comic books, which I guess we kind of are? How queer do you think I am? I love Batman.
Yeah.
I got a Batman tattoo. I got a bunch of old Batman comics, blah, blah, blah.
Batman tattoo, nice.
I do, on my bicep, on my incredibly flabby bicep. But I love the Batman TV show, and I've always wanted to have a cowl. I've always wanted to have Batman's cowl.
And incidentally, you are overdue with that. We are all waiting.
You're never going to see it because it's under glass now in my house.
You bought
cowl
from the show?
The girl who's not my girlfriend bought me one of those plastic heads. And
remove it from the glass and bring it in here at least once.
Mike, it's on display now.
He bought a cowl, Pat, and he bought the Batman cowl on TV.
I would not tell you on the radio because people would hate me if they knew how much money I spent.
Fish got to swim. You got to wear it in.
Yeah, you got to wear
it. Let me ask you something.
You bought one of the cowls that he wore on the show.
Made by a guy that made them when the show was out, and
from the original pattern.
And I mean,
oh my God!
And it's not like something that's just thrown together. I mean, it is the exact thing. How queer is that? And keep in mind, I don't want to. Let me put you on hold, and I'll tell you how much I spent for it. Okay, hold on.
All right, Don's going to
promise
tell Patton,
me you don't repeat it on the air.
I won't.
Hold on.
All right, Don's going to tell Patton how much he spent on the cowl, and then I got to ask Patton something. He's telling him about the utility belt. I was worried about that.
The utility belt. We have to work on him to get that thing in here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Right. Come on, here is Pat.
I was just talking behind your back.
I just gave Pat the true price for the cape, the cowl, mm-hmm. the utility belt, and the battery.
All right, your assessment of the situation, Pat.
I'm reminded of a bit that a comedian named Dana Gould does, that when you die during the afterlife, you have to read off a list of your eBay purchases to starving third world children. That's how you have to spend your first year.
That rocks.
Years in eternity just going, like, I never ate in the bones in my skull never quite set. For $3,400, I bought a Dr. Zaius.
Hey,
stuff like that.
Stay on the anime.
Patton, I never asked you this question, aren't you? Because you're into the comic book and they kind of sometimes go hand in hand. Are you a bit of a collector? Do you have any weird, besides comic books, do you have any other collections?
You know what? I used to collect stuff, and then I stopped because I really, really was spending a lot of money. I have a few, like, couple really nice first edition books, of like books that really, really matter to me.
Okay.
But like what? Like, name a book that matters to you.
I have a complete hardback collection of all the Parker novels by Richard Stark. They're like the best crime novels ever written.
Mysteries, right?
I've got those. I've got the complete hardback set of all of Neil Gaiman's Sandman comic books.
Do you have any John Grisham books?
No, I don't have any John Grisham books. Yeah. So I have slipcases of Batman, Dark Knight Returns, Sin City, Watchmen, and Kingdom Come.
Oh, now see, Watchmen, again, I don't get that. My kid is crazy for Watchmen.
Oh, it's so good. You didn't read it?
I tried to. He even got me a hardbound book for Christmas that had the best. And he said, Dad, this is the best gift. And I sit down and I said, you know what? Here's the thing, Patton. I'm 47.
Right.
The comics that I grew up with were like World's Finest, where it was Batman and Superman, where they would have crazy imaginary episodes together.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I try to tell my son all the time, I have a hard time adapting to Sin City, the movie. When we went to see the movie, he said to me, Dad, this is maybe the greatest movie I've seen. It's so much like...
A comic book.
Yeah. I'm sitting there going, I think it's okay, but it's not like the best thing I've ever seen. Now, on the other hand, you know, I kind of like the Batman movie that has George Clooney in it. Because it's so faggy cartoony.
Dude.
These are my comic book issues. But beyond all of that, would you, if you could afford it, if there was something that was really important to you comic book-wise, would you have bought something as stupid as the cowl if it meant a lot to you?
Yeah, there's a couple things I would have bought. That, like, if I could buy one of the original prop guns from Blade Runner, I would totally buy one of those.
Okay, see, good. Thank you, Patton.
Yeah, something like that I would totally buy. If I could buy the original, I don't even know if it exists. Apparently the original Leatherface mask from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the 1971, is in a museum in Austin, and if that ever went up for bid, I might actually bid on that.
Because you like horror movies as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your buddy's name? I forgot the tall guy that's been in some Brian Poe. What is Brian's last name?
Posehn.
Posehn. That's right. How's Brian Posehn doing?
Doing great.
Brian Hussein?
He's got a coming out in next month in May called The Last Christmas. And it's about Santa Claus in the post-apocalypse still trying to bring Christmas to all the mutants. So funny.
That is right up his alley. Uh-huh.
Didn't I also just read, in the real-life comics now, in the real world of comics, isn't Batman, fighting Saddam Hussein? Isn't that a plot?
Oh,
that's a
Frank
plot
Miller, who did The Dark Knight Returns, is going to do Batman trying to take down Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is serious. Really, they're really doing it.
He's totally serious. He's going to take on Al-Qaeda.
Right, okay. I'm down with that.
We are doomed.
Yeah.
Besides being on this show, we'll promote No Reason to Complain, Patton's new DVD, Amazon.com or PattonOswalt.com. One of the best parts of your website is where you yell at disc jockeys and tell disc jockeys how friggin' stupid they are.
You had any recent horrific experiences on radio shows?
Don't really suck. I did a radio tour yesterday morning, the Comedy Central set up, starting at 5 in the morning and going to 1 in the afternoon.
Those are fun.
One after the other. It was brutal. Mm-hmm. So brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, hey, Flappy of the Bean. It was so bad. So, and they all want to talk about that article now. Like, they don't even get the joke that... it's not worth talking about it. Says here you don't like DJs. No, it doesn't say that. It says that 90% of you guys are fine. It's the tiny percent that suck.
why is it bad to want people to do bits or ask what it's like to be on, you know, like they just want to parse the article to the point where it doesn't even make sense anymore. It's like, you know, I got to say, the thing on my website only works in writing. Like, we can't sit here and discuss it because no one's going to know what we're talking about.
I mean, yeah.
What do you mean, man? Come on, buddy.
Come on, buddy. Anybody that doesn't know really should go to PattonOswalt.com because it's really just like a big F you to every stupid Hawaiian shirt wearing disc jockey in the world.
Mm-hmm. Morning zookeeper.
That's right, baby.
Hey,
right.
It's Ronnie and the Rapist on KTRT the Turtle. We got a fantastic.
With
so.
Turtle.
It's our Friday morning. I hate my boss, Dota Toss. Come on down to the station. We'll be tossing donuts off the roof. Bring a bucket, try to catch wood.
You know what I read, though? You gave some guy, who's that incredibly, like had to be lifted out of his house, fat guy from the mix station in Baltimore. Were you on the station in Baltimore with an incredibly fat guy? Is it Kenny and Joe J or... God, I don't know. There was one of these... Anyway, all I know is that the guy really weighs like 600 pounds. Mm-hmm. And
my God.
And I think maybe you must have done a phoner if you don't remember his appearance. On your website, you write about these guys. Well, if you never saw him, never mind. Because then...
Oh, do I say I like him or I hate him?
I don't remember.
You might have had a fight with him.
I don't remember. You might be right, Mike.
Comedians of Comedy, the one that you guys are on.
Right.
I have a fight on the air with a guy... I'm talking to a guy in Baltimore. Maybe that's him. And then they hang up on me. And then I walk on the corner, and there's a guy sitting at a stoplight, and the station's playing in his car.
They're
yelling about me.
And they're trashing you, right? Right.
That's the guy I'm talking about. So you weren't actually in the suit. You're just on the phone, or you?
No,
were there?
I was on the phone.
You're on the phone. Oh, because see, if you could have seen the guy, the guy I think since then has been canned. But the guy really is like in the 500-pound range.
Sure, he had sleep apnea.
Well, but how did he physically go into the studio then?
With a crane.
Yeah, I mean, he's like...
he was lowered.
Like Hambone.
Hambone.
Oh, no.
Oh, the late Hambone.
The late Hambone.
You know, I always get a little sad when you bring Hambone up because I have fond memories of Hambone when we called him and he couldn't hear the phone because he was lying on it.
His ass cheek was on it.
Very, very sad.
That's the guy Geraldo put him on his show when they...
And regretfully, Patton, he has passed.
They had to... These are the guys that got out with the crane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's horrible.
Well, he's making progress, too. But we actually did call him one time, and he did not hear the phone because the phone was underneath him.
It's true.
And you know what we said to him? We said...
He's mentally retarded.
That's what we said. He's mentally retarded.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Patton. Let's see, Patton Oswalt. Oh, you know what? Hold on. Do you always like our soundboards?
He does.
Love them.
In fact, I think he likes the Rosie more than anything else.
Well, we had that in the show where we're just dying, like you're just playing.
You can call.
Hold on a second. Hold on, Rosie.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
No. I'm trying to find the page on the computer here.
Excellent.
There it is. So it's like
hello?
Hello there. How's your daddy?
Our daddy is dead.
Right. So we've got all those. Now we've also got some new ones.
Oh, yay.
Made with, but not with famous people.
No.
Like, hold on a second. We've got, have you heard the Larry King page?
No.
Oh, hold on a second. Well, then here we go.
Hello.
Now you got to talk to him.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Larry.
I'm Larry.
Yeah, I know. How you doing?
I'm Larry of the corner.
Okay.
Okay.
Larry? You okay?
Yes.
Yeah, so what's up?
The only thing I worry about is dying.
Why are you worried about that?
And I read the obituaries every day, look at the ages of the people that died.
Larry, you shouldn't do that, man.
Sometimes not.
But you shouldn't do that at all.
I was in South Africa, and I'm walking down the street, and a guy comes out of like a hut.
What were you doing in South Africa?
I'm lying in bed. There's a minister over there. People are all gathering around the bed.
Larry, honestly, I think maybe you need to like lie down yourself right now.
I want to see it all.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad you still have like a lot of verve for life, but...
Why don't you just ask him what he really wants more than anything?
Yeah, well, Larry, thanks, Don. What do you want more than anything?
Oh, boy.
What if a boy's not available?
Hands down, Michael Jackson.
And what if Michael Jackson's not available?
I would rather do Saddam Hussein, but who would?
But you would rather do...
A boy.
A boy. That's right.
Wow. So that's your first choice?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No contest. Unbelievable.
All right, hold on. Let me go to the new one now. This is now, you don't know this guy. He's our program director. We have, talk about douches. We've got maybe the biggest prick program director we've had in the last 15 years is currently working at the station. And we've got a page with him, too. So you can just say hi to him.
Hello.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Hi there.
Hi. What's your name?
My name is Greg Gillespie.
Greg Gillespie. What's up?
G-R-E-G.
Greg, you don't need to spell it. I got it.
What's your name?
My name is Patton.
Tell me about you.
I'm a comedian. I'm doing the Don and Mike show. Okay.
I want you to repeat after me.
Okay.
I am Mike O'Mara's boss.
I am Mike O'Mara's boss?
Yes, sir. Large and in charge.
Okay.
Hi there.
Hi.
Say hi to my old friend, the strap-on.
Why do you have a strap-on?
He likes you.
Okay, you're really creeping me out.
Talk to him, please.
No.
Talk to him, please.
Hello, strap-on.
Ah, very nice. Talk to him, please. Hi there.
Yeah, hi.
Say that again. Louder and
hi.
I have a shocking mane of red hair.
Okay, I see that.
Look at my beard.
No, I'm not going to look at your beard.
Would you like to smell my beard?
No, I don't want to smell your beard.
Oh, that's funny.
We've identified that Patton is probably the most obnoxious tape we have in the entire
world. Oh, my God.
Now we've got the same guy, Travis, the guy that works on the show. He is also the voice of our general manager.
Yes, the same voice. Now, these are not the real voices of the guy. This is just somebody imitating
different guy.
Right. Not really there. Even imitating
him. Here we go.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, this is Michael Hughes.
Hi, Michael Hughes.
I am a powerful radio executive by day, male prostitute by night.
Oh, that's funny.
By any chance, are you into wine enemas?
No, I'm not into wine enemas.
Change me, mommy.
Oh, God.
I find an enema clears my mind.
That's great.
I want to sing.
So sing.
La, 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 la.
Why in God's name did I say that?
I'm a diaper enthusiast.
That's okay, good. Notice I'm not asking you anything and you're just spouting stuff.
Money.
Oh, God.
Okay, here we go. Just have a regular conversation.
Hello there.
Yeah, hello.
Hello there.
Yeah, hello.
Tell me about cheese.
Tell you about cheese?
Oh, I love cheese.
That's great.
What cheese do you like?
I don't know. Cheddar?
Name a good cheese.
I just did. Cheddar's good.
Another one.
Gouda.
Another one.
Swiss.
Oh, I don't like that.
Well,
take it easy, honey.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
Sing with me.
No.
Yes, please.
No.
You are a good whore.
Great.
Now, this must end.
Thank God.
And goodbye.
There he goes.
Goodbye.
There you go.
Goodbye.
I love it.
And hold on. Well, and then there's also, gosh, hold on. Where's the Jack Bauer page?
Oh, Jack Bauer from 24.
Shut up!
What?
Shut up! Shut up, stupid.
Hold on, now I don't have the cheat sheet for this one.
That's Keeper Sutherland.
It's on the flip side of one of these, Rob. See, there's Michael Hughes page, there's Rosie the Retard page.
Larry.
I don't know. Let's go, let's just...
Hey, is there any way you guys on your website could post the low-budget Jeopardy every day? Just do a separate little thing?
Yes.
You don't post every single one of them?
The low-budget Jeopardy?
And
nope.
Always great. I love those.
Thank you, Pat.
Sometimes not.
I'm such a nerd for those things.
Yes, actually, we've just decided that we are still doing Jeopardy, but we're doing it now without the game. Because really, who cares about us asking people dumb, idiotic trivia questions? So Now it's just going to be what? The Friday visit.
The Friday visit.
The Friday visit.
Yes, it was the Friday favorite. Now it's the Friday visit.
Oh, so you only do it on Fridays.
Yeah, right. Well, we always did Low Budget Jeopardy on Friday, usually on Friday.
We used to do it back in the day, we used to do it every day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Who's going to be on today?
There's a very special broadcaster that's down at the Masters currently that works for CBS and is very uptight by the name of Jim Nantz.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. He's wound tight. Very good. I'll give you a preview on that one.
Okay, here we go.
I'm not going to say anything. I was just giving you a preview of it. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Larry, would you like to hear something?
Yes.
Why is that?
I'm curious. I want to know why.
How you feeling?
I got some few chest pains. First chest pains I've had in 10 years.
Really?
I'm the oldest person in a lot of places now.
What do you worry about?
The only thing I worry about is dying.
Was that good?
It was funny.
Was it really?
Put me out.
Did it hurt you?
It hurt.
Did it hurt?
Fact of life.
Fact of life. All right, you're unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, I know.
I'm Larry.
Okay. All right, Patton. I could sit here and do that all day.
I know you could.
I know. That means you're sick of it.
No.
Okay. All right, goodbye. I didn't mean to be that abrupt, but...
No, this was great. I'll let you guys know the next time I'm in town. I'll drop in.
Oh, please do. Please come in. And come in and play these tapes yourself.
God.
Come in and run the soundboard yourself. Mm-hmm. Have a great time. Patton Oswalt, funny as hell. New DVD.
Thanks, guys.
No Reason to Complain. Get Patton's DVD at Amazon.com or go to PattonOswalt.com.
Good luck, Patton. Thanks so much for covering us all this time. We appreciate it.
We'll talk to you soon.
Guys.
All right, dude.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The great Patton Oswalt. Mm-hmm. Funny.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Only comedian I've ever gone to two shows two nights in a row. That's how good his stand-up is.
Yep. We'll see. And I've not seen Patton except on TV and
right.
on his DVDs.
Right.
I'll go to see Caliendo this weekend
mm-hmm.
and let you know.
Patton gets a big old glass of Merlot when he's working a big old wine. Yeah.
He gets a little buzz when he...
I think he might. He might like his wine, a little vino.
Gets loose.
You know, we can relate to that. You know, working on stage with a little buzz on. Nothing like it. Nothing like
I used rocket fuel.
We did. We used very significant rocket fuel.
Oh, Sambuca.
Mm-hmm.
God, I still puke if I even just smell Sambuca.
Think of nasty stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you, Patton Oswalt. Good, funny guy.
He is a funny guy.
He is. I wonder if that DVD... Oh, I was going to say, I wonder if it's any good. Of course it's good.
Of course
it's
good.
It's him doing his...
It's a DVD, not a CD, right?
Oh,
right.
Okay. Right. Oh, and everybody... You know, I'm sorry. We had like 8,000 people calling for him, too. And again, we just monopolized him for ourselves.
Well, he likes the tapes. He came in here one time and he was talking about how he loves that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hey, hi.
You know, that wasn't... It wasn't JoJo and Kenny. It was the Big O and Duke show that he got in a fight with.
Maybe so, but on his website, I think he does write, and you're right, it's JoJo and Kenny.
Yeah.
That's the guy, that's one of the guys that isn't, even Jim London laughs at this guy.
He's that big?
This guy is
not working there anymore, right?
Yeah, right. Maybe you're right about that. Thank you, my friend.
Sure.
All right, see you later.
Bye!
Bye-bye. Is that what everybody's calling about? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Back to like Ben Oswald.
Excuse me, sir?
What was that?
He's gone. I don't know, but it sounded like...
I think it was Bob Dole.
Oh.
Bob Dole.
Not to be confused with Bob Dalton.
Plus, not to be confused with J.C. Hayward.
J.C. Hayward.
Hello, Don
Chief
Mike.
Knife.
Hello. Oh, these are the calls that we're all waiting for Patton. It's just as well that we didn't take these
calls.
This is
the noise guy. Can we help you? What can we do for you?
Right, I say, well, yes, and how many?
Just
one? Yes, okay, and, all right, would that be exact?
Okay, we understand. I'm translating this. Hold on a second. One more? Okay, yes, it was. She called to say it was a promotion. JC.
Oh, it's JC Hayward.
Like a bird sound there.
It's J.C. Hayward.
J.C.
Hi there, baby.
It was a theory of promotion.
It's our exclusive interview. That doesn't sound like farting.
Yeah, it's not working. He's not a trained professional.
Hey, pick up the phone.
Come on, pick up the phone for real.
Pick up the phone. Fart guy, pick up the phone.
Oh, see, he's hiding behind it.
Come on, please. Step away. Step away from the fart. Just pick up the phone.
Oh, see.
Bye!
State of terror.
There you go.
He's terrified.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike. This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt. What? You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
Not a word, my sweet. Just listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Girls! Okay, girls.
Girls!
Girls.
I want to think and dress like a...
Girls!
I want to really be a...
Girls!
I feel that I am truly a...
Girls! Ruin your life. You let them do it. You'll be very, very careful when you get involved with them.
Yes.
Because they'll take your money.
Every bit of all your money.
My money, money, money. Not once, but twice. Hi, they're both real nice.
We stay on the air some longer time. Please don't retire until May 2008.
Mike, I wish you would not be so much in love with all of your honeys, then you would have saved your money.
Money!
I hope she'll stay.
I like this song. I'm going to dance to it.
Enough with the beast. Enough with the double B's. The double B, baby.
Good boys.
The beast, baby boy.
Fine man.
Okay, man. Everybody knows that, what's her name? Is leaving the one show. And what's her name is leaving the other show.
Meredith. Yep, correct, Vieira.
Here is Meredith Vieira and her tearful announcement on The View.
Oh, good.
Well, you know, I sat down last night to write what I was going to say to you all today, and I couldn't do it. And I realized that it is because I'm having trouble finding the right words to express how I feel right
much
now.
Like
I've
Katie
spent
Kirk.
9 years, wonderful years on this show. I'm very proud that I was part of the launch, and I've been here, and I've loved it. The people are wonderful.
Blah, 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 blah.
You know, they're all like, going to be eating lunch at the same restaurant. They're all in New York City. Mm. Shut up.
Now, here's why I even brought that to your attention. The number one intranet rumor, even on some TV websites, taking Meredith Vieira's place, is Mimi Rogers.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Which is why on our website...
Anybody want a milkshake?
Here you go, Mike.
Okay.
The movie is called Door on the Floor.
Yes.
And you can see her Door on the Floor.
A Gravity.
And, no, I'm telling you, those are spectacular.
Yeah, they are spectacular.
So we have, if you go to DonandMikeWebsite.com and click on today's steaming log, you'll see the pictures of Mimi Rogers. And think about this. Wasn't she, like, married to Tom Cruise for, like, 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm. That was his first wife. Also, a good movie for her is called Full Body Massage with Brian Brown.
Is that the name of the movie?
Yes, yeah. That is. Right.
Yeah, but The Door on the Floor ain't bad.
No, no.
I mean, and we have her best scenes, and she's got two fantastic reasons that she would be great on The View.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Finally, somebody to give Joy Behar a run in the boob department.
Oh, God.
The picture's a little stretchy on the website, so if you just right-click it and click on View Image, it'll straighten it out.
When you say stretchy,
yeah.
It makes you look a little long.
Like, yeah, a little long.
Well, Buzz, you know what? You're just being way too picky.
Oh, not if you want to see them correctly.
Oh, that's right. Okay, good. Good man, Buzz.
I kind of like them stretchy.
There you go. There they are, unstretched.
You know,
anyway.
Big is big.
Yeah.
Jugs is jugs. Parts is parts.
Parts is parts.
So anyway, hire her. Mm-hmm. Where's it now?
Hire that woman.
Where's the tape of Star Jones where she really does cry?
What number?
21.
My wife.
Star Jones. Ay, ay, ay.
Meredith, I sat to your left the whole time. The whole time. And there have been times when you'd look to my eye and I'd look to your eye as you'd finish my sentence and I'd finish yours. And I'm going to miss the person to my right. I just want you to know that.
Star, come on. Calm down, Star.
Hire Mimi Rogers. Just get those big jugs out there. But, you know, since all this talk has been going on, I watched The View today. And
aren't they really just all, like, walking across the street?
Literally?
It's a shuffle. ABC and NBC, right.
Right.
Star Jones, there was all kinds of talk that she was getting in a fight with Joy Behar on the air because she was talking too much about her breast augmentation surgery.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing her today on that show, if I was her, I'd go ask for my money back.
I don't know what she had augmented.
Yeah, listen,
but
you know
there doesn't seem to be any evidence of anything that happened.
Oh. It looks like she has Kelly Ripa boobs.
And she's got that weird head that people that have their stomach stapled have.
And here's the thing also that you find with really fat chicks.
Right.
And Star Jones, if you want to give her any credit at all begrudgingly, you have to say she looks like she has lost an S load of weight.
Did she have the surgery to lose the weight?
I don't know if it was a combination of diet and that, but whatever. And I do mean S load.
She did lose a ton.
Now, you think when you're with a fat chick, one of the real bonuses will be big jugs. And I can't tell you how many fat chicks have very small jugs. It's
sure.
Like you see a big woman naked, and you
like a 52A.
What you expect is like that, what's her name from The Practice?
Cameron Manheim.
Yeah, Manheim Steamroller.
Right.
Now, or even Janice from The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Big fat pig, but probably, I mean, take a look at those.
I think she's got them, yeah.
Right, now.
I mean, a lot of fat women have them also. You know, that with their weight goes the big ones, but there are women that don't, and that's
right.
Disturbing.
When Star Jones...
Thank you, Star. A lot of men that are fat have them, too.
When Star Jones was fatter, she had small boobs. Mm-hmm. I think I had picked her out originally as one of those women, fat women with small boobs.
All right.
So now she's lost weight or had surgery, whatever.
She went through kind of a really awkward phase where she still had a little bit of the gut, but you could see that she didn't have anything going on.
So she has augmentation. And I think what she did, she said
she
that
had
she
had a breast lift, right?
She had them lifted.
Yeah.
And maybe she had something added.
She had some implants, I think.
Get your money back.
Yeah.
Honey.
She just looks like her head is too big, too, for her body.
Yeah.
I hate to pick her apart, but, you know, that's
why
what we
not?
Do.
I mean, you couldn't pay me. I mean,
well, she also fancies herself like the supreme glamour girl.
Yeah.
And you know what? She's not Tyra Banks. She never will be. She's trying to be a supermodel, and she's trying to be in this glamour thing, and it's not working.
There was something in the New York gossip rags this week that she admitted that due to her size, she would buy clothes at Lane Bryant, which is a store for larger women,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then put on Chanel buttons.
Oh, really?
Wow. Wow. Somebody was thinking about it. But give her credit where credit is due. She has lost the weight. She just looks odd. She has looked odd since she lost the weight to me.
Let me just say, Star Jones, you know what you want? What you want is what Mimi Rogers has.
Mm-hmm.
And you should have had these. As a matter of fact, if you were properly made by God, when you were super fat, you should have had incredibly huge jugs.
But God doesn't work that way. He doesn't give all the big fat women the big boobs.
Right.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way.
He does with lots of them, though. What about those two fat sisters that are, I mean, and they're not sisters, I mean, they're colored girls, mm-hmm. that are going to be in the fat girls movie.
They might be the same ones that I watched last night
in
Soul Plane, and I loved Soul Plane.
Monique.
Up until a point, the first half of
Monique,
right. Monique is the funniest thing in Soul Plane.
Right.
And Monique is the standard fat black chick.
She's the gold standard now.
Yeah, whenever you need a fat black chick, she's got those big long eyelashes.
Yeah, and in Soul Plane, she plays a transportation safety official screening people that are coming to the airport, and she's hysterical as they go into the Malcolm X terminal.
And now she's got, and there's the new movie out, Fat Girls, which is her and like her twin sister.
I'll research that and find out if the woman that she's doing Fat Girls with is also in Soul Plane.
No, I think the other one in Fat Girls is Mabel King.
Who?
The mother from What's Happening.
Jesus. Shut up, God.
You can't help.
Just stop it, Rob.
Mabel King.
No one knows that. There's not a human being that knows that.
Mabel knows that. Mabel's dead.
Yes, she is.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Mabel King. Good afternoon.
Mabel King. Right, you remember her. She was married to Martin Luther.
That's right.
Mabel
God.
King.
Wow.
Oh, excuse me. I take it back. She was married to Larry.
Larry King.
Larry
That's
King.
That's it. Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Alan.
Hello.
Afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hi there. Of cartoons.
How are you guys doing?
From Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Of comedy.
Have you guys ever noticed that Al Roker and Star Jones look alike?
Well, okay, they all look alike. Is that the joke? Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Al Roker is better proportioned, I think.
Yeah, hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Hey,
does Don and Mike know they're talking about Star Trek?
Does you know that you are talking to them?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, guys. I thought it was somebody else picking up the phone.
How many times you got to say we take unscreen calls on the show? How many times you got to scream that into people's goddamn heads?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm always used to what's-his-name picking up the phone and asking me.
Hi!
Idiot. And you call too much. It's the stupid rule.
What not?
Does Don and Mike know?
What not? Even though you didn't say what not, the... You are a whatnot guy.
He is.
Mabel King.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Burger.
What?
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Burger King. Yes, hello.
Hey, yeah. Do you know what happened to Lorenzo Lamas?
Yeah, Buzz. This could be a legitimate question.
I have no idea what happened to Lorenzo Lamas. I mean,
like, are you aware that something has happened to him?
Is
or
he in the
is
news?
That just a generic question?
No, I never knew what happened to him.
Yeah,
I
mean, now, hold on, no one does. Now, wait a minute. Now we have to explore you. Why in the name of God and all that is holy are you asking us what's happened to Lorenzo Lamas? Why are you thinking about Lorenzo Lamas?
Okay, here's what happened. I was flipping through the HBO stuff, and I saw Black Dawn. And Lorenzo Lamas is in Black Dawn, and that made me think about Lorenzo Lamas.
Of course. Are you on vacation or are you unemployed?
All right. No, I have no job.
Thank you for the call. Christ is King.
Bye!
The question usually, you know, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but if you're on the unemployment line, that's a question that comes up.
I'm afraid that I'm going to have to make that my standard Friday greeting.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is King.
Christ is King.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Howdy do.
Hi there.
Hey, you know, you're talking about people with the stomach stapling. What happened to Randy Jackson? I think that guy's putting on weight faster than Star Jones is losing it.
Randy Jackson does appear to be. And I like
fat.
Randy Jackson fat.
Yeah.
I like him better than when he was losing the weight.
Crisis King. Thank you for the call. American Idol. Okay. I know you've heard this about Paula Abdul.
Yeah.
But here is the official story. LAPD investigating the claim by Paula Abdul. She was roughed up at a party this weekend.
Huh.
Now, this to me sounds like a pretty good excuse for her to be back on painkillers.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Pretty good excuse for her to zone out during the show.
Las Vegas is calling.
She says that some guy at a party, like a former agent or something, grabbed her, threw her against the wall, grabbed her arm because she had a bad attitude. There's more to report. There's this guy named Dante Spence. Now, the guy that allegedly grabbed, I'm not going to say allegedly because I think it happened.
Yeah.
The guy that grabbed her ex-agent, Jim Lefkowitz. Hi, Pauler, come talk to me right now. Pauler.
I don't know if I can tolerate the fact that you're just categorically ignoring me at this social function.
Pauler, you are don't make me grab your arm. Don't be so smirky, Pauler.
Paula, if you walk by me again without acknowledging my presence, you're going to be the recipient of my mean streak.
So he bumped into Paula Abdul.
Mm-hmm.
It literally bumped in and she fell down on the floor.
And that's probably what happened. You think that's what happened? Where he brushed up against her with his stomach and she just went, oh!
So now there's another guy now named Dante Spencer.
Hi!
And he is either Paula Abdul's current boyfriend,
okay,
ex-boyfriend, I don't know. Anyway, he's there when this guy knocks down Paula Abdul,
yeah.
And when he saw what happened, he ran over, and this is the new part of the story today, he punched the guy in the face.
Okay.
So Paula Abdul's boyfriend punches the guy in the face. It's not clear what happened next, but the guy that originally pushed Paula Abdul must have beaten her current boyfriend in a fight, because if you go to LATimes.com, they have a picture of him in the emergency room where he has 17 stitches over his right eye.
This is the boyfriend.
Wow. The boyfriend that came...
Well, it sounds like the former agent is a bit of a tough guy.
...came to Paula Abdul's defense.
Wow.
And the guy, the agent, Jim Lefkowitz,
mm-hmm,
then bloodied his eye and
wow,
gave him 17 stitches.
Boy, it must have been a hell of a party.
So look for Paula Abdul to be back on the pill. Paula Abdul.
I just want to say, Catherine, you're fantastic. So she'll be talking in you know, those sentence fragments again that I love so much.
Christ.
And standing up, yeah, that's right, with the hands, Rob, just going,
Christ is King.
Yeah.
Oh, and one more thing. How many saw the movie Rockstar? Remember with Marky Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Where he, you know why I love that movie? Uh-huh. First off, Aniston is in it.
Right.
Second, he buys the Batmobile.
Okay.
Remember that?
All right. I didn't see the movie, no.
Now, the movie is about like a Van Halen band.
Right.
And they lose the lead singer, and they go out and they find some guy in a cover band.
And it's all about his love story with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, it's about Marky Mark. Well, Marky Mark plays the guy.
Right.
Motley Crue is in Canada 2 nights ago. Tommy Lee, who's a drummer, had some problem with I don't know if it was a tendon break in his arm or something. He couldn't drum.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Couldn't drum. So, this is like the real-life rock star. We're going to have this guy on the show next week. Guy's name is Harvey Warren. He is a manager at Starbucks. He plays in a cover band called Broken Toys, T-O-Y-Z.
Right.
It's a tribute band to Motley Crue. They went to some radio station and said, isn't there a Motley Crue tribute band? They drove to Starbucks. They said to this guy, how would you like to drum tonight for Tommy Lee?
I love it.
He did it. Yeah, drum with him, drum for him.
Right.
He did it.
Was Tommy Lee still on stage?
Yes, he still performed.
Cool.
And, most importantly, Tommy Lee, thankfully, was still able to use his boob cam. You know where they where they strap him up like to a Peter Pan wire,
and
he goes into the crowd.
Probably the biggest part of that show, actually.
And on the video screens, the girls show him their teats.
Right.
Anyway, this guy, whoever he is, Harvey Warren, the Starbucks guy, he's like the real-life Marky Mark. You're going to hear that story over the weekend.
Cool.
We'll have him on the show next
week. I like that story.
We'll have him on the show next
week. Very, very neat.
One call.
Those tribute bands are usually spot on. They're almost better than the original.
One call, and then I think it's time for the Friday visits.
All right.
Hello, Don, Mike Show.
Radio God.
Don't forget, I answered the form of a question. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is 000/00.
Oh, hold on a second, Joe.
And you're forbidden.
Joe has just sent me an IM that you are in the book.
Yeah, sorry. You are not allowed to come on the air.
Hey, look at that. Caught him. Somebody who is banned.
Mm-hmm.
Joe picked up the number from caller ID. Very good. Thank you, Joe.
Excelente.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. Love the show.
Thanks.
Hey, have you seen on YouTube.com, it's got Star Jones getting hit in the face with a football?
Yes, I've seen it.
I've not seen it. What's the site?
YouTube.com.
Yeah, and you can
YouTube.
Google it. She goes out for, I forget who throws the ball. It's a famous quarterback.
Seahorn.
Who, I'm sorry?
Jason Seahorn, cornerback for the Giants.
Oh, the cornerback for the Giants.
Gets it in the face and is genuinely knocked cold.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Out. It's great.
Really? Yeah. What is it again? The site?
YouTube. YouTube.com.
YouTube. Okay.
Right.
Thank you, my friend.
Surprise,
thank
you.
Bye.
You're watching that all weekend.
We will have the link on our website.
With
that site. Now, a Friday favorite coming up.
Yes.
A Friday visit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we got the other stuff ready?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're all set for you,
good.
Mike.
Very, very good. I'm delighted. Looking forward to it.
Let me just check on one thing.
I just want to tell both you boys, go easy on him. Okay? He's an uptight guy.
Yes, he is.
On Nancy?
Yeah.
And do we have the tapes of who's now, Mike? Who's the old racist guy that
Hootie Johnson
that runs the Masters? Hootie Johnson, yes.
What's I say, son? What's the gimmick? Well, what's it all about? I say that's no. I say that's no chicken, son. I'm a chicken rooster. That is
not funny. Not one little bit.
Hey, Jimmy.
How are you?
We'll be right back with a Friday visit.
Oh, this is going to be tedious.
Hey, guys.
Not funny, guys.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. UKFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And again, happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at the NFL today. Now, the IBM Power Poll, this picked by my guys here as always. Craig, Randy, Jerry, Eric Mann, Bob Matina, our radio buddies, Don and Mike, everybody in on this one.
The Don and Mike Show.
The cure for your malaise. The Don and Mike Show.
Let me see. We on Monday's show, we're running out of time today. On Monday's show, we'll find out about Robert Mailman and how it went with the yanking of his teeth.
Did he get them replaced with anything, or did they just yank them out of there?
T-E-E-F-E-R-S.
Teefs.
Teefers.
Teefers.
Monday, Dennis Murphy. The ghost.
Who?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he's buying a gas station.
Yep. Is he going to call it Murphy's?
He sent us an email about it.
Murphy's Gas and Go.
Talk to him on Monday. I'm going to go see Caliendo this weekend. I'll let you know how that goes.
Right.
Okay. You know what? Here we go.
Barker.
Oh, that's, thank you, Rob.
Bob Barker.
And, yes, the real Bob Barker will be on the show Monday. Now, the Friday favorite. It's time for a visit, everybody.
That's a legendary broadcaster, Bob Barker.
Hey, Jim.
You guys should be taking time out of my busy schedule, guys. Decided to drop in on what is probably, in my estimation, the best weekend of the year.
Without question,
I'm down at Augusta Broadcast.
The beautiful Nancy Jim Nance from CBS Sports, who this weekend does the whole whisper thing, the whole...
Nothing quite like driving up Magnolia Lane, guys.
The dogwoods, the azaleas.
Really, well, I'm sure you're going to make every attempt to belittle it, but it still thrills me. As you stand there in the Georgia Pines enjoying the scenery and the azalea line fairways and enjoy all the majesty that is Augusta. Very, very excited about that. I normally take Friday to walk the course. I've spent it with you for the past several seasons, and I'm here again. Good to see you guys. Hope we can avoid working blue today. If you don't mind, I really think this is, as far as sports is concerned, and CBS and my whole family at CBS, Lanny, David, all the guys out on the course, and all the crew, the crew that's there, and whoever is on the crew that may die this weekend, I'll look forward to making that announcement as well, and let you know that I was standing under the Eisenhower tree and thinking to myself, what a wonderful time of year it is to be in Augusta. And I bet my thinning hair on this being one of the best finishes we're ever going to have. We're going to see who walks down number 12, the Golden Bell. And let's not forget the shot heard round the world. Gene Saracen's double eagle on 15 in 1935.
What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think? Down there in Augusta.
Sure.
With all those racists, what must they think that you've got? You've got Tiger Woods.
Over the line, Don.
And isn't...
Way over the line.
BJ Singh.
Way over the line.
Incidentally.
Here you go. Now here's what you're doing, Nate. You're making that statement. I'd just like to say that Hootie Johnson and the whole membership at Augusta has made every effort to make this Masters the most inclusive one ever. And I really want to commend them on their charitable works that they do for the Augusta community. That's not a word I used, Don. Way over the line. You didn't waste any time. I wanted to talk about number 18, otherwise known as Holly, the wonderful hole, finishing hole that goes to the right of the wall.
How many African-American...
There you go. Now we can have the conversation.
How many African-American males, since they don't let women play at this club, how many African-American males are in the Masters?
I'm not about counting. I don't think that's appropriate. I was having a long chat with...
Isn't the answer two?
I was in Butler Cabin talking to Hootie Johnson, and we were enjoying mint juleps that were served to us by a wonderful black man who was very well-spoken. And I will tell you that I feel as though this slamming of Augusta for this very, very nasty reason is way, way over the line. And also, it's overdue. It's time for us to move on and discuss the finer things about Augusta.
Is it not?
The Georgia Pines, the Eisenhower Tree, Ike's Pond, Ben Hogan Bridge, the Saracen Bridge, all the good things.
The whole thought that it's okay for Tiger Woods to win because he's part white, but a guy like Vijay Singh is too black to win the Masters.
Don, I think I can best summarize my thoughts on the matter by a conversation that I enjoyed with Hootie Johnson not just a week ago, as we were standing there trying on several of the green jackets worn by previous Masters champions, and Hootie looked me in the eye, and I believe he generated somewhat of a tear as he said to me, Jim, or Nance as he likes to call me, Nance, all are equal, but some are more equal than others. I don't think I'll ever forget that.
Here is his face.
It was wonderful. It made me want to run out and take my thinning hair and my naked body out to Amen Corner and jump in one of the watercolored pines. I mean, the watercolored ponds. Hootie was also wearing a green truss to celebrate Masters Week. He changes his girdle colors.
When you do the football stuff, you know, you do the whole, hey, welcome to, Foxborough, it's too cold. But when you do the basketball...
Oh, you're going to mock this. Now
when
I know.
Do the basketball, you get excited. You go, UCLA national champion. When you do the golf... You get this reverence, this phony reverence, and you whisper.
Reverence. There we go.
You talk about...
Slam Nance again. I understand what you're doing, Don. Here's the deal. Let me explain to you. The master of understatement is Jim Nance, and there's a certain history and a reverence that goes along with broadcasting from Augusta, where so many champions have walked down the fairways.
All those famous white guys.
Special times. And they happen to be white. I like to look at it that way. It just happens to be luck of the draw.
Well, we didn't have
a white man can take a five iron in his hand and put a beautiful flubbing soft shot down into number 16 and make it his own. I think that the fact that the coincidence of these men all being white is lost on me. I don't understand why you're making such a big deal of it, but Hootie likes to get together with me about a week before the Masters Tournament and slip me a couple of vintage lewds that he gets out of the Champions Gallery, wow. And we get very high.
All right,
and
hold on.
Watch all the goings-on. It's quite some time. Lots of fun.
Satellite from Augusta, Georgia. Do we have
on America's most watched network, CBS.
Do we have Hootie Johnson?
Thank you very much, guys.
Okay. All right, here is Hootie Johnson. Here's your guy. This is the guy that doesn't want
you
women.
You have a quote from Hootie?
He doesn't want
women. He's a great guy. He's a great president of the corporation.
At the Masters?
I slip of the tongue, guys.
He doesn't want Negroes to play at the Masters?
Now that's way out of line. Honest to God, now you're going to get me angry. You're really stomping all over the tradition that is the Masters Tournament. And, you know, the type of thing that I used to love to come, our 34th president, Dwight David Eisenhower, who spent so much time, quality time, at Augusta. Just last evening, I was spooning with Arnold Palmer, and we were discussing what a great tournament it will be. And Arnold no longer playing in the Masters, but still upholds the tradition and the wonderful times and wonderful champions that Augusta has celebrated with the green jacket presentations over the year. But I'm going on and on here, and if you have a tape of the venerable Hootie Johnson, certainly would love to hear it.
Here it is.
I keep picking them and you keep missing them.
That's not
it. You gotta keep your eye on the ball.
Not funny.
Eyeball.
Not funny.
Eyeball. Almost had it.
Okay, you're making me angry now.
Joke, that is.
You're mocking the tradition is what you're doing. That's not... Now you're playing Dixie. That's... okay, I see where this is going. I see... you know, listen, I was down at my house in Houston a short time ago, and I'm sorry, that's Greenwich, Connecticut. And,
hold on there, boy. A rooster's got to learn to eat corn off the cob. Well, what do you know? There's an ear of corn now.
If Lanny was here, I'd have him beat you up.
He's so dumb, he thinks a Mexican border pays rent.
This is... It's way out of line. Way out of line. I guess you're having fun. I guess you're having fun, guys. Yeah. Not funny. Not funny at all. You're talking about a wonderful civic and community leader.
What's our say, son? What's the gimmick? Well, what's it all about? I say that's no chicken, son.
You know,
I'm in here.
I didn't.
Rooster, that is.
It's a cartoon character, guys. Not funny at all. I came in here. I wanted to talk about the majesty and tradition of Augusta. You are playing a cartoon, and you're indicating in some perverse and twisted way that Hootie Johnson sounds like Foghorn Leghorn.
Look at here, son. I say, son. Did you see that hawk after those hens? Yeah. He scared them. That Rhode Island red turned white. Then blue. Rhode Island. Red, white, and blue. That's a joke, son. A flag waver.
You're making me so angry, I'd like to take you out to the Saracen Bridge right now and punch you right in the snout. I really don't care for this. This is not what I'm here to do. What I'm here to do is talk about one of sport's greatest traditions.
All right, Jim, let's talk seriously. Let me turn this
Please
off
give me an opportunity
now.
To talk
now.
Seriously
Jim,
about so many of those shots that fly inadvertently at a Rays Creek, crushing
Jim,
the dreams of a hopeful.
Yeah. What would happen this weekend?
Sure.
If you ran the Masters.
If I ran the Masters, I wouldn't change one single solitary thing.
I have a question.
They
Hold
could
on.
Not do a more perfect job.
Hold on. Let's say that the weather became threatening.
Yes.
And perhaps, I'm guessing it's nice like in the 60s, but let's say the temperature got into the 40s and there was a chance of...
One of the things about Augusta, Don, over the years, the climatological changes that have occurred on that part of the South have resulted in major wind swings and temperature changes, so you might get your wish.
I'm not saying my wish.
America's most watched.
What would your reaction be, Jim, if, let's say it's day number four, Sunday at the Masters, and there's a chance that you're going to have a mixed bag of precipitation.
Mm-hmm. I would make one change. You're talking about with the different weather conditions, how I would change the Masters.
Yes.
It's something that I've suggested. As a matter of fact, Jack Nicklaus and I, our Saturday tradition is to get together and eat Cheetos and smoke a fatty. And I said to Jack at one point, the only change I would make, not a fan, guys, not a fan of the caddies' white jumpsuits.
Huh.
My idea has and always has been to, in conjunction with the First Tee program, get one modification to make the 14-year-old male caddies wear shiny hot pants and run all over the course. I think that would be very good for television.
What if it was, now, don't you remember when the Patriots played that game in the snow against the Raiders?
Life-threatening, guys.
You had your whole thing.
Life-threatening.
Play the game.
Let me tell you something. I'm all about the fans enjoying the experience. And that was darn near a tragedy on the part of the NFL to play that game in 10-degree weather. People could have died, guys.
Now, what happens this weekend at Augusta? This was my original question.
Sure.
What happens this weekend at Augusta? If the weather gets bad, what do you say they do?
Unfortunately, CBS has rejected the idea that I had originally. What I wanted to do, guys, was this was the idea I had. I said, you know, you have threatening weather, you have thunderstorms, severe winds, you have the Georgia Pines that occasionally can snap at the top and fall down on an unsuspecting fan that would result in injury and perhaps even death. So what I have suggested is a series of bunkers be dug. And I'm not talking about the SAM kind. I'm talking about the kind that are excavated with a backhoe that you could actually reinforce with concrete and get people to go down into them as a shelter, almost like a bomb shelter. Because you never know when the weather is going to turn ugly at Augusta, and of course there isn't the proper amount of shelter. Anyone that's seen those tents out there that are purchased by some of the fine sponsors and hospitality people at Augusta don't understand that that a squall, a Georgia squall, can be one of the most lethal things, and not just trailer parks, guys, but also the the actual weather itself can result in a lightning hit. Now, I know the chance is one in a million that some unsuspecting senior citizen may get hit by a lightning bolt, but I'd like to assure that everybody's extremely safe, so I have instructed the people at Augusta, per my wishes,
yes.
I can't afford this excavation, to dig some shelters, much like the shelter that Dorothy used in The Wizard of Oz. You might be familiar with it. It's simply reinforced concrete with a wooden door that people would be able to climb into. There would be, of course, beverage service, and I think it would be a wonderful addition. And I think people would remain safe because, you know, sporting events can be very, very dangerous, and you have to take the fans first.
Here's another quote from your man, Hootie Johnson. Mm-hmm. Now, what is this guy's job at the Masters?
Hootie Johnson is the president of Augusta. He's the man in charge. He's large and in charge, and I think Hootie is really responsible for keeping some of the great traditions alive and burning at Augusta.
Every time I go down
Magnolia Lane, I always say to myself, boy, I love the course and I love seeing the players, but what I most enjoy is sitting down with our boxer shorts and speaking with Hootie.
Don't hand those fair barnyard
Not funny.
What's going on here? Don't stand there with your beak open.
Not good.
Explain yourself.
Not good at all.
Your tongue's flapping, but no noise is coming out of your big mouth. Now get out and stay out.
Here I was.
Scram! That is.
You know, you're not amusing anyone with this. You might think that this is levity. I don't really like it. I don't approve. I had some wonderful stories that I was going to share with you about my Masters moments, and here you are playing a silly Warner Brothers cartoon character that has nothing to do with Hootie Johnson. I was
going to
tell you all about the time that Lee Trevino and I were trapped in a cave for 19 days.
Why did you...
Rescued later by Ken Venturi.
You know, in that romantic, artsy-fartsy way that you describe... Like the surroundings. Could you possibly,
sure.
off the top of your head,
of course,
because you know we're not playing low budget Jeopardy anymore. You're aware of that,
and
right?
And I don't appreciate the sound effects. I think it's just not funny, guys. Not funny at all. Don't like what you're doing. I think you're really soiling the tradition of the Masters. But I'm here to serve, and I have foregone my walk of the course to be with you today. I flew up on the CBS prop plane, and I'm here today. Resembles the plane they used in Mad Max. You remember that? That's the type of plane that I flew in on today. But it has a CBS logo on it.
That looked like a plane that was like with a big rubber band.
It's an ultralight, really. We flew in today. I'm using Queen's third person there. But what can I do for you? You want me to talk about the Masters?
I'd
be glad to.
What I would like you to do is, in your own eloquent way, tell our almost give a eulogy as to why we are no longer doing the part of this bit where we have people answer stupid trivia questions. And now, talking about low-budget Jeopardy being turned into the Friday visit, Jim Nance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Nance. The great tradition of low-budget Jeopardy. Modified, like so many things have been modified over the years. Sometimes progress has to be made. Sometimes changes have to be made. Sometimes you have to make what is good better. And sometimes that involves removing something to add something later. That, of course, is the tradition of low-budget Jeopardy that, as of today, will no longer feature listener participation. See, over the years, the listeners have become tired and boring on the feature, and they've kept the good part and eliminated the bad part. So when you tune in each and every Friday to the Friday Favorite, or as we now like to call it, the Friday Visit, you'll notice that we have lengthened our fairways and modified our greens and we've eliminated you, the listener, from the participation part of this program. Low Budget Jeopardy now will feature just a visit. No longer a caller, no longer two callers, no longer a silly quiz. But the integrity and the tradition and the wonderful moments that were on Low Budget Jeopardy will live on forever. And we know the competition will be fierce, the competition will be great. But you, the caller, the listener, you at home, no longer invited to our butler cabin. Unfortunately, you'll have to stay at home and do what you do best, and which we know you've always done best.
What's that?
That's to listen and not involve yourself in the day-to-day workings of the Don and Mike Show, Low Budget Jeopardy, and really anything else that we don't ask you to join us.
I keep picking them and you keep missing them. You got to keep your eye on the ball.
Don't care for that.
Eyeball. Almost had a gag, son.
Hold it, guys.
Joke, that is.
Please.
What's that? What?
Up with the foghorn, leghorn. I've done it. I've said it. I've given you the description. That's it. Now let's open up some Pringles and a Fanta and have some good times. Shall we? Let's go into Ike's Pond. And I'll put on my black pair of silk boxers given to me by South African Gary Player years ago. And I'll do some swimming and perhaps we could dive for balls.
How was your daughter's bat mitzvah?
Wonderful tradition, guys. Great day. Wonderful time. Good experience for everybody. And want to say hi to all my crew down in Augusta right now, drinking heavily, because it's the first day tomorrow of the real telecast, as we like to call it. We don't mess around with any of that TNT USA Today crap.
Nah.
We enjoy the real network, CBS America's most watched network broadcast.
Now, Jim, you know, well, we've had you on the show.
Without a Trace, Thursdays at 10 on CBS.
Well, we've had you on the show.
Now let's discuss the Tom Kite glory hole.
You're like the waspiest guy in the world.
Yeah, well, that's, yet, I've been called waspy. Yes.
You've mentioned on occasion that you, actually on the show, you mentioned that your daughter was celebrating her botnets.
Not going to go there, guys. Not going to go there. Once again, we blur the color line at CBS. We also don't deal with any religion.
Haven't you ever heard that great joke? What's that great joke about? You'll love this, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jewish woman's favorite wine.
Oh, we need to paint the ceiling.
Not funny, guys.
Is it like,
please
was,
don't involve
when
me
you're
in
making
that.
Love, mm-hmm. What wine? It's something like.
What's a Jewish woman's favorite wine?
Yeah.
You know, I don't care for this. This is not where I'm going to go. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you want to sit there and belittle different ethnic groups, you're not going to get Nancy to join you on that little tour, that little parade. My parade really is the parade down Magnolia Lane. That's the one I want to talk about. And will Tiger repeat or will Vijay Singh come to play? We've got lots of things coming up on CBS. More coverage and no commercials on the Masters.
Now.
Underwritten, just like you'd like to have your program underwritten.
But incidentally,
Hootie made that possible. He's a good man.
Yeah, but the reason no one buys
this last week, I was sitting at his cotton plantation. We were having a mint julep, and Hootie was saying to me, don't you wish the old times were more prevalent around the United States?
Look at here, son. I see.
That's not
son.
Hootie Johnson.
See that hawk after those hens? He scared them. And Rhode Island red turned white, then blue.
You're chapping my hide.
Red, white, and blue.
Really chapping my hide.
Flag waver.
That is really frustrating, guys. That is not good stuff. That is really making me angry. As angry as I was the one time Colin Montgomery did not show the proper amount of British respect to the American galleries. That's how I felt. I'm chapped right now. Take a look.
Huh.
I'm chapped.
Yeah.
You see that red on my neck? That's really angry.
So you don't want to
hair just standing up, guys.
You don't want to talk about the fact that they don't want blacks to play at Augusta, that they won't let women in. You won't discuss the fact that you are, in fact, married to a Jewish woman, which is fine with us. We just want to find out
more
about you.
Don't want to go there, guys. I'd rather talk about conversations with Hootie. And you brought him up, and I'll continue to bring him up. We sat on Hootie's porch. He in his white suit and huge white mustache. Good time had by all. Hootie, of course, gets his hair done and has for several years at the same location where former Senator, former Senate Leader Trent Lott, he's still a United States Senator, gets their hair done. It's a special place.
Isn't
we call it Helmet
that,
Heads.
Isn't it true that that guy, Hootie Johnson, didn't I hear him quoted somewhere saying that slavery is in the Bible?
Now,
that if you read the Bible.
Not going to go there, guys. Not going to go there. Listen, I could hang out here all day, but unfortunately, I want to go pay my respects to the fading Jesse Helms, who is really just a fragment of his former self, a great tragedy, a wonderful American leader, and a terrific individual with a wonderful collection of thin string ties that I like to go down and take a look at. And if only we could wheel him out to the Masters, it would be a wonderful, wonderful time.
In a world where owning a radio
last
was
walk
strictly forbidden,
on the Hogan
one
Bridge,
man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Right.
He made
heated up.
Oh, boy. I could wax nostalgic on the Masters all weekend, guys, but I have to get back to my job. I could tell you the wonderful story that I tell each and every person that comes down to Augusta about the one time that I saw Jack Nicklaus making water under the Eisenhower tree.
Wow.
Special time. He was fat at that time.
What are your stories on News and Comments tonight, Buzz?
Tonight, President Bush brings a leak. Judas says God told him to do it. And for the ladies, finally, a scientific reason to go topless.
Ah, yes. The Buzz Burbank left-wing news. Probably a good time for me to take my leave, guys, and get back down to the Tower at 18, where I'll be bringing you the very latest in Masters coverage all weekend long. Of course, weather permitting. Don't forget about those bunkers. Thanks so much, Don.
For news and comments, coming up. The Don and Mike Show.
Best to you and your dog, Clink. Take care, and you too, Pachango.
Yeah,
we'll see you at the militia camp this summer.
Thanks
to you and your family.
Thanks so much. Enjoyed it. Always enjoyed my visit, even though you worked a little blue. Didn't care for the foghorn leghorn. Really, don't
care.
No, please.
You
had to say that. It's making me angry, guys.
Hey, what's going on here? Don't stand there with your beak open.
Who did you ask?
Explain yourself.
That's
your
not...
tongue's flapping, but no noise is coming out of your big mouth. Now get out and stay out. Scram!
He's talking to all the black golfers, incidentally.
Okay, now it's time for me to go. I can't hang around for this, and it looks like it'll be an extra Prilosec for me tonight.
Uh-huh. Jimmy, that was very...
That professional. Gotta go, guys. Not funny.
It's the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
A handsome man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Very scary kid. And I'm not kidding you this time. The Don and Mike Show.
Tanya. All the way back to number one. We're going to stack number one of the beauty contest ratings before the end of the year.
Hello.
If we can guarantee it. I'm willing it to happen. It's been a pretty kick-ass week of shows we've had.
Amen.
Pretty kick-ass. I'm ready for another vacation. Why don't we just take next week off and just run all the shows from this week?
Do it.
Next week.
Done.
A no-lose situation.
Here is Buzz and Buzz with the news and comments. Hey, and incidentally, plenty of time tonight.
Yes, I noticed. Mm-hmm.
Two full news segments.
Stretching room.
That's right. Buzz's news and comments. God damn, we're on a roll.
Yeah.
God damn, we're on a roll.
Yeah.
I swear to Christ we are. Really.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm so glad not to be going, don't forget answer in the form of a question.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, DM eaters. Buzz's news and comments brought to ye by Hard Times Cafe.
Mm.
All the great food you love to eat. Great food, good people, cheap prices, Hard Times Cafe. Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
President Bush, who's said more than once that leaking classified information is a threat to national
security.
Brother,
what can I do to help you?
He said it's a threat to national security, but he's the guy behind the outing of a CIA agent.
You say he's taking a leak?
Sort of. Hey, it's almost never been done, but the president has every legal right to declassify intelligence information.
Legal.
But since the CIA agent's husband had criticized the president's rationale for invading Iraq, it appears he did it for political revenge. The president has said that anyone who leaks such information would be out of this administration. It's not yet clear when he'll be leaving. This week's revelation comes from the prosecutor who got it from the vice president's former chief of staff, Scooter Libby. Libby says...
Scooter!
Cheney told him...
She's a CIA agent! Scooter and Mobile. You're neck-stepping now, and you're neck-stepping with old neck-stepping names, right?
Yes, yeah, some blast from the past.
Okay, I'm just trying to stay up to speed here.
He might be even neck-kneeling right now, but it's good stuff.
Scooter Libby says Dick Cheney told him the president okayed that CIA leak. Now, when the CIA agent was exposed a couple of years ago, people were outraged. The president responded by saying, I want to know the truth. Today we all know the truth. Quoting a leading Democrat, this is as serious as it gets in a democracy.
So, I mean, really, here's the deal, and I've been listening to all of this.
Please.
What they're saying is, letter of the law, he can do it.
It's the president,
he can declassify whatever he wants.
Right.
But in the whole time this has been going on with Scooter Libby, he's been coming out and making these statements, almost like the statements, you know, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. It's a similar thing because he's come out and said, I want to get to the bottom of it.
But here's the thing.
And if he knew the whole time, he's been lying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Even though what you're saying is true and what you're saying is true.
Yep.
I don't care. I don't care. I just 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 don't care. I don't care. I don't give a rat's ass. I don't care. What's next, Buzz?
Seriously? You want to move on now?
Is there more to this?
Actually, there was a bit.
Well, there you go. I'm being a good co-worker, aren't I? Yeah, that's exactly what you wanted to hear. After you've crafted this and you're ready to present your news.
The good news is it does kind of take a turn here. Because I wanted to say that, oddly, nobody in the White House press corps asked anything about this yesterday. They did today, and the White House said that sometimes it's good for the American people to release classified information.
I don't care.
All right.
I don't care.
Now, here we go. Here's where it turns.
Can we talk about something else?
Well, we can talk about this. Last night, one citizen rose from the crowd to give the president a piece of his mind.
Okay, now we're talking about something new.
Yeah.
That's just happened.
Right.
Beautiful.
With his popularity numbers so amazingly low, the president's people are trying a new approach. They tried making him presidential, but people just giggled. So now they're letting Bush be his goofy self and making public appearances less staged. That, of course, has its risks. Like last night in Charlotte, North Carolina, when real estate man Harry Taylor was called upon to ask the president a question.
Okay.
Quoting Harry, "While I listen to you talk about freedom, you assert your right to tap my phone, to arrest and hold me without charges, to try to preclude me from breathing clean air. If I were a woman, you would like to restrict my choice about pregnancy. I'm not your favorite guy," said Bush. "What's your question?" Quoting Harry, "In my life, I have never felt more ashamed of nor more frightened by my leadership in Washington, including the presidency." He says this to the president's face. "And I would hope from time to time you have the humility and grace to be ashamed of yourself."
Whoa.
"I really appreciate you allowing me to speak about it. That's part of what this country is all about." "Yes," said the president, "it is."
Buzz, can I just say this?
Yes.
About all of this?
Yes.
All this talk that you're doing now?
Yes. Yes.
Not my problem!
No, but a lot, perhaps not. But to a lot of people, it is.
And not my problem!
The president not only expressed regrets about the mistakes made in Iraq, in fact, that's all he expressed regrets about, and he attributed those mistakes to the military, specifically Abu Ghraib. He refused to apologize for the wiretapping or the war itself, so some things haven't changed.
What are you doing this weekend, dudes? Who's ready to party this weekend?
I think we all are.
Are you frustrated with the opening stories of the news?
Slightly, and I'm the world's biggest dick on this topic.
Music people.
Because I had a meeting with them before the show today, and I sit there and I go,
looks good.
That's a good list. Really, I swear to God.
I think I was sitting there when that meeting.
We come in every day, and he's right? got his list of news, and I never say no.
No.
It's only like if there's, like for instance, the story about the guy with the bullet or with the live ammo
right.
for 40 years.
The guy with the thing exploding in his hand.
Uh-huh. Right.
Right.
I said, Buzz had that in the news. I said, oh, no, I found that, too. I'm going to use that today.
Right.
Otherwise, I don't, you know, it's like, I got to start paying attention to these meetings.
Nah.
I really do, because you came in, and I said, boy, that looks great. We're going to give you 2 full breaks today.
Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ, what was I thinking? What the hell was I thinking?
Music people.
Well, every day is different, and this is today. The war on terror has made the whole world a little crazy.
You're a trooper. Buzz, you are a trooper. I got to hand it to you.
What are you going
to
do?
And good for you. You should do nothing more than what you are doing. Stand your ground.
Cool.
Just recycle the same news that you've had ever since he won.
It'll change. When's it going to change?
Well, 2 more years.
2008.
Yeah, when we're gone.
Yeah.
Well, when we're gone, we will be gone
before
he's out of office.
Oh, what a shame. What a shame we won't be able to be here for the next guy.
Here's an entertaining anecdote.
What, Rob?
That frees you up to run.
Yes, sorry.
We'll be libertarians.
Yes, that'll be good.
Mm-hmm. In England, a man was apprehended as a suspected terrorist.
Are you booing England?
Yeah.
Of course he is.
100 years ago, they were the enemy.
That was
England
then.
Can kiss my ass.
And this is today. In England, a man was apprehended as a suspected terrorist because he sang along with The Clash in a taxi cab. That's right. A cab driver turned in a suspected terrorist. The Clash hit London Calling includes the lyrics, "Now war is declared and the battle come down, meltdown expected." Not the best lyrics these days for a guy with olive-colored skin to be singing.
London Calling and ba-bum-ba-bum-ba-bum-bum.
Right.
At least he could have picked Rock the Casbah.
What about Train in Vain, man?
Oh, I love Train in Vain.
Train in Vain.
I love Train in Vain.
See, it turns...
Should I stay or should I go?
Oh, yeah.
Should I stay or should I go?
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-
used to turn the driver on to some Beatles, some Zeppelin, Procol Harum, and The Clash. The driver says he didn't like Zeppelin or The Clash. The police screwed up by listening to a guy who doesn't like Zeppelin. But quoting a police spokeswoman, the report was made with the best of intentions, and we wouldn't want to discourage people from contacting us with genuine concerns.
Mm-hmm.
In Australia, a woman who's pretty enough to land a TV commercial has been fired from her airline job because she looks too goth, too gothic, said Jetstar Airlines.
Really? What, like with the black, Morticia from the Addams Family thing?
She's really cute. I was emphasizing my point and pounded my microphone button off.
Oh, I got you.
So this very hot 27-year-old uses black eyeliner, black eyeshadow, black nail polish, and no blush.
I would think somebody looking like that on my flight's going to serve me like a Coke that smells like something.
No, she was a ticket agent, and she couldn't have been more charming or more attractive. In fact, this sort of makeup is so...
I can't go flying with you, Ralphie boy. I don't know why I said that. I have no idea why I said that. I want to go flying.
I can't go flying with you, Ralphie boy. She's too goth.
This makeup is so unscary on this woman that she's in a national commercial in Australia for KFC.
So what you're saying is she's very pretty.
Very
pretty.
Even though she's goth. You know, not an extreme case, just enough. It didn't scare the person who hired her at the airlines, and she complied when the airlines...
Goth chicks have bruises a lot. You ever notice that?
Well, not always.
Like, they're wearing those black spandex pants that come halfway up their calf.
Only if they don't listen.
They always seem to have a bruise.
And she complied when they told her at the airline to be less goth.
After her termination, she became a bat and flew away.
Oh!
Scared, kid?
Still, she finds herself out of the airline job she needed to support her acting and modeling career, a job she really liked and wants back. She's waiting to hear if she has a case. Oh, when we come back,
yep.
All about the congresswoman who says she was touched inappropriately.
Oh, right. Yeah. And the lady McKinney. That looks like, she looks like, what, I know we had this discussion on Good Times.
Uh-huh.
Wilona.
Yeah, it wasn't I think I may have said the Jeffersons. Or did I say Good Times?
No, Good Times.
On Good Times.
Wilona.
She looked like the lady that lived across the street from the Evanses on Good Times.
The hot lady?
Yeah.
Well, for Good Times hot.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think she looks like her.
Down.
Florida Evans.
I know who she looks like.
Who?
Mabel King.
We have tape on her, right, Buzz?
We do.
I think we do, yeah.
Cynthia McKinney?
That's the one.
That's your name? All right. Coming right up.
Good.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about this show.
It's
huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show.
Your favorite asses, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Here is Guy Birdley once again with more news and comments. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The congresswoman who says she was touched inappropriately by security screeners at the U.S. Capitol because she's a black woman has apologized. Representative Cynthia McKinney says she was surprised she wasn't recognized as a member of Congress when she tried to go around the screeners at the Capitol building.
She looks like Jack Hay.
Nobody goes.
I would see her and think, oh, you were the lady from 227.
Mm-hmm. And nobody goes around the screeners. Not even big shot lawmakers.
I come before this body to personally express again my sincere regret about the encounter with the Capitol Hill police. There should not have been any physical contact in this incident. I am sorry that this misunderstanding happened at all, and I regret its escalation, and I apologize.
It got ugly.
What? I hate you. I hate your big fat boss head. Ass.
It did get ugly that day. A grand jury started investigating whether McKinney struck one of the officers. The cameras didn't pick that up, raising the question, what good are the cameras?
Mm-hmm.
McKinney declared it a case of racial profiling. That didn't work. She claimed self-defense, and when that didn't work, she, as you heard, apologized for the whole thing.
She didn't. The way I heard it this morning, she hasn't apologized to the cop, though.
Not personally, no. And she still may face charges. Now, sometimes...
Hey, but what about that hair, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Mm, boy, oh, boy.
Well, I heard that's the whole reason, because she changed the hair, and that's why
they didn't recognize
she wasn't...
I know. I saw the before and after picture.
Yeah, right. But you can't mistake those eyes.
Mm-hmm.
She has very expressive eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you
and they were angry eyes that day.
Yes, they were. Fiery, you might say.
Fiery.
Boxy lady.
You can't say unattractive. And speaking of attractive, sometimes you see lovely, natural breasts. And sometimes with implants, you're looking at platinum. Turns out they put platinum in the silicone to make it firmer. Silicone breasts were having problems, heaving with problems, you might say. Many leaked.
Heaving breasts.
There were infections, so many women had them removed. The problem is some platinum leaked into those women along with the silicone. And years later, it still courses through the bloodstreams of some of the implant pioneers at dangerous levels.
Are yours platinum or, saline or silicone? Which are yours?
Yes.
Okay.
All three.
That's solid gold in my book.
You know what? Actually, Mike, I just have saline and... And what's the other thing you said?
Saline, silicone.
Yeah. Silicone.
Because my philosophy has always been platinum.
All three.
Platinum can flatten them. So I don't take platinum.
Good for you.
And that's all three?
I'm gelling like Magellan.
Magellan.
Let's say Magellan.
Uh-huh.
God, I'm stupid.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, let's not have this discussion now, but yes.
All right.
I'm terribly stupid.
These women who have platinum in their bloodstreams from the implants, they could have...
All three?
Severe allergic or toxic reactions. Now the FDA is about to approve putting silicone breast implants complete with platinum back on the market.
Oliver...
Platinum. He's got them. Implant makers have convinced the FDA that this time it's safe because now there's less platinum.
Mm-hmm. Card.
And if you don't mind the fake...
I'm playing the platinum game.
You're playing the platinum card.
Record.
Oh, you might be king of the platinums with that. That's what I was going to say.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're king of the platinum.
Thanks, I'll take it. On Friday, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. And if you don't mind the fake breasts, maybe you won't mind the fake news. A new study shows that in a period of less than a year, 77 TV stations in this country aired fake news.
Locally?
I don't have a local...
I bet it's local.
This is a national...
That air you breathe can kill you.
Are we talking about fake news?
Yeah, but...
Michael Elton and Buzz Burbank.
Don't know. No, here's how it works on these TV stations, usually in smaller towns. That's a town smaller than Washington. Now, to sell more local advertising, a lot of stations schedule longer news shows than their city needs. The more shows, the longer the show, the more money they make on advertising.
That makes perfect sense. I think that's been going on in broadcasting
for a long time.
For the entire time that I've been associated.
But what these stations in little towns are doing to fill their hour and a half news block in the evening, some TV stations are airing prepackaged reports that come from, say, General Motors or Pfizer or Capital One.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, they're disguised as news reports. They never say where the report is from.
I don't think that
you could possibly argue the fact that they are informative. I think that if they're informative, how can it be fake?
Well, I think they're slanted, and you know how I feel about that. Some TV stations will not
are
only...
Are we talking about Orientals now?
No.
An anti-Chinese thing?
Not at all. No.
I was saying bias.
Is another chink in the armor?
I was saying, never mind. Some TV stations will not only air the video, they'll read word for word the script given them by the company, cutting out the annoying journalism part. The top offender, according to the report, is a Fox station in Oklahoma City, but 76 other TV stations around the country did the same. It's not only skeezy. Turns out it's an FCC violation.
See, my impression of fake news would be that crap you see at the airport before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That, to me, is fake news. I guess that's just not news. Right?
I think
right.
Fake news is like Brian Williams. I mean, really, I'm not kidding.
Why do you have a problem with him?
Or any of them.
Oh, I got to get this in. Justice Scooter Libby says he was acting on orders from above. Judas says that's what he did. The gospel according to...
Oh, my man!
The gospel according to Judas.
My man!
It's not only been found, it's now been documented by the National Geographic Society.
And it's been translated. Yeah. Right? Yeah. They translated.
Yes, they did.
Who's he acting on orders from?
From
the J-Man.
I'll tell you. In it, the guy who turned the J-Man into authorities says it's what Jesus asked him to do.
Jesus told him to.
Yeah, see?
Right. Huh? Jesus said, hey, they picked up the phone and said, hey, Jay, it's Jay.
Right.
I want you to do this thing even though you're going to look like an a-hole for all time.
Yeah, so it's his sacrifice.
And you know what it is? When I read the story, I thought it's almost like professional wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's almost like Jesus is Hulk Hogan, and Judas is like Mick Foley.
Or The Undertaker.
Yeah, or The Undertaker, or Tugboat.
Right.
And they got together before the match.
Thank you.
And Jesus, as Hulk Hogan, said, hey, brother,
hey, brother, you know, come at me, brother. Come at me. But in my heart, I know you love me, brother.
That means Jim McMahon is God. When we come back...
Vince McMahon.
I'm sorry. Damn.
Because, see, in my world, Buzz, you know me. In my world,
Jim McMahon is God.
Mm-hmm. He really is. I've got two game-worn jerseys. God, I love Jim McMahon.
Jim McMahon is Jesus with sunglasses.
Jim McMahon, very famous. Mike, I know you've seen this before. Golfs barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
Also, many times when he went to BYU... would go out and golf and would just relieve himself on the golf course.
Yes.
When he went to a Mormon college.
Jim McMahon.
What a guy.
Incredible human being.
And doesn't even wear the sunglasses because he thinks like it's cool. It's because he got poked in the eye with a stick when he was a kid.
I thought it was an attitude.
And remember what he said to you when you met him personally. I love that story. When you saw him on the football field and you walked up and told him what a great guy he was.
F you.
That's exactly what he said.
Really, I wonder why. I said, you have no idea. I've met you before. You are my hero. You're like the anti-role model, but I love you. I love everything about you. I was on a football field meeting Jim McMahon, and he looked me right in the eye, and he said, I swear to God, he said, F you.
Which fit into your image of him.
Everybody said, were you disappointed? No!
Hero.
Are you kidding?
You laughed, right?
He's the punky QB known as McMahon.
That's right.
Yes, I laughed.
And when we come back, a scientific reason.
Always gets back to the Super Bowl shuffle.
It sure does, Mike.
Sure does.
Sorry, Buzz.
That's quite all right. When we come back, a scientific reason for women to go topless.
Ooh.
Okay, good.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
It's all been
so incredibly fascinating.
And
entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. More than 6, but less than 12.
Yep.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
I wish we had more time. I would tell you how my kid just called. Mike, I know you'd be proud.
Yeah.
You'll be proud.
What did he do?
As his unofficial uncle.
Yeah.
You know, he's 21 now.
Yes.
You know where he is this weekend?
Where is he?
He's at a casino.
Attaboy.
He's at an engine gambling casino. Because he's old enough to get in.
Yeah. My heart is swollen.
He called me just to tell me. Called Collect. To tell me
of course.
That he lost his cell phone.
Oh, no. He's 21.
Not gambling.
In a game?
Not in a poker game. I'll report on Monday. Hi, Buzz.
Yes, hi. Finally, young women who sunbathe in a bikini or less reduce their chances of getting breast cancer later in life. So says a study in the American Journal of Public Health, which says a big dose of vitamin D every day can cut the risk of some cancers in half.
Hello, Liz Crenshaw.
Your body produces vitamin D when your skin is exposed to sunlight. The more you expose, the more vitamin D you get. Now, to be fair, the researchers say women don't have to go topless to avoid breast cancer, but they say it is important to expose a lot of skin.
I think women need a lot of vitamin D.
Yeah. quoting one doctor, just put on a bikini. You heard the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
That's it. We got to fly. We will be back on Monday. Have a great, safe weekend, everybody. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Love you, Amy, and happy anniversary, too. And happy birthday to my grandkids. God, can I do any more family crap?
Yes, you can.
At the end of the show. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you.
I hope Mabel King doesn't get cancer.
Have a good time at the circus tonight.
I'm going back. Cotton candy.
Bye.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.